across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Well, it turns out we're talking about capes. Why the hell not? Why the... What is this sexist, sexy nonsense that pervades that, oh, yeah, it's okay for girls to wear capes, but you try wearing one and you're accused of being David Crosby in 1966. Well, do you know what, guys? Kiss my chuddies. We're bringing capes back. It wasn't what I was intending to talk about, actually. The big thing that's got my beef today is, when the hell did popcorn become a flipping snack? It's everywhere now. You go to the crisp aisle and it's popcorn packets. That just doesn't seem right to me. 0844 499 1000. Calls after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late-night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building, I might roll a brand new car, 'cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I've taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay.
Hey, hey!
I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay.
Hey, hey!
I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine, 'cause I'm the unknown stuff. Makes Eastwood look so fine.
Yes, Alan.
Don't be crazy, Ian.
What? What?
Topic, please, Ian.
I can't. The thing. Right. Okay. Several things are creating mayhem. May I explain what they are, Alan?
Go on, Ian.
Number one, I'm actually going deaf.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I'm sorry for doing that.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Excuse me!
No, I'm actually going deaf. So you're laughing at someone who's pretty close to getting a blue badge. So I would stop that if I were you. I'm going deaf. Right. Because I have the headphones too loud. Yeah. Secondly, there's something not quite right in this studio. Partly, it's the cups, the Coke bottle and the empty glasses that have been left here from I don't know which show. But also, there's something not quite right. So the phone calls are very muffled. They're loud, but they're muffled in my ears. Probably sounds great on the radio. It does sound great on the radio. I've been listening, but in my ears muffled. So that's two things. And the third thing, you talk like you've got a wanger in your mouth and it's really hard to understand what you're saying, Alan. So those three things combined mean it's really tricky to follow your thread.
Please tell me the topics for the show.
Yes, I can, buddy. I have them written down. 0844 499 1000. We'll call you back. Okay. Oh, yeah, here's something. It was just mentioned in the news. British Home Stores.
Yeah.
BHS, right?
Yeah.
It's in financial trouble and they've had to be bailed out. Do you know what I find amazing about that story?
Go on.
I thought British Home Stores went bust about 20 years ago.
Oh, I wonder how they managed to survive all this time.
I don't know how they did manage to survive. The thing I used to like about British Home Stores was they had an amazing lighting display in the basement section in Slough in Queensmere, which I was in today, and it turns out the HMV I used to work in is now a B&M. Is that a thing, B&M?
Well, I knew they took over Woolworths in Northfield in Birmingham.
Woolworths. Let's have a moment's silence for Woolworths, shall we?
Yes.
Ready? Done. Now, but I used to like the fact that I've just remembered they used to have in the light section. You could also they had a big wall covered in
doorbells.
Exactly, they were covered in
doorbells,
and there was all the different
doorbells
noises you could get. So, but I thought British Home Stores went bust years and years ago, and it turns out I was listening to a really interesting report on Radio 5, I mean Talk Radio. And it turns out that they sold British Home Stores about 2 years ago. Guess how much they sold it for?
£1.99.
A quid. Now, if I'd have known that BHS was up for grabs for a quid, I'd have had it. I'd have had a go. You've got to for a quid. Also, if you knew it was for sale for a pound and you went into one of their stores and they were selling like a top for 20 quid, well, you might as well buy the shop for a quid. You take all the tops you want for free and then just leave it. Just throw the keys in the canal. Might as well do that, Alan.
Yeah, we'd be another poundland.
Yeah.
Be another poundland.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that you started.
I mean, what other topics have we got as well as BHS?
Because that one's not grabbed you.
Well, what other topics have we got tonight? We need to have a variety in the mix.
Yeah. When did popcorn become an acceptable face for snacks? Because popcorn, right, first of all, popcorn is American. That's fine. So are pizzas. When we only ever saw popcorn in the 70s in watching American movies, okay? And then you could buy popcorn kernels and make your own popcorn, and that was good. I'd play the song, but I don't think I've got it on this computer. And that was good, right? And then you went to the pictures and you could buy popcorn there, already made. All right, that was good. And then you could buy the big party bags of popcorn that were a bit rubbish, but that was okay. But now you go to the crisp aisle, Alan, the crisp aisle, there's popcorn in there. It's not just sweet popcorn and salty popcorn. It's like sweet and sour popcorn. It's like chicken fried rice popcorn. It's like fish and chip popcorn. It's like bum popcorn. It's just, what is going on with it, Alan?
I don't know. I'm going popcorn crazy.
Popcorn crazy. Popcorn crazy, which is a great name. Right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to invent a time machine, Alan. We're going to go back to 1964, and we're going to go to ITV, or Reader Fusion as it was known, and we're going to pitch a show called Popcorn Crazy.
Sounds like a plan.
It'll just be like the swinging sounds from the day.
When he said he'd go.
Okay.
What's the third topic?
Flipping heck. You're making me work tonight. I got a 5-star review in the Telegraph today.
I've just read it.
Yeah, Julia Hartley Brewer got slated. Unfairly, I thought. There are other things you could judge her on, not just the speed of a voice. I've got a topics for tomorrow's show, by the way.
Ooh, bit of a sneak peek.
Do you want to hear what Julia's doing on tomorrow's show?
Yeah, let's hear what Julia's got planned tomorrow.
On tomorrow's show with Julia Hartley Brewer, Sadiq Khan is in the studio. Sadiq, you know who Sadiq Khan is, don't you?
No.
Sadiq Khan is he's only hang on, you might not be able to hear this, hang on. Yeah, he's only the fella that is probably going to be London. There are other. I'm in dodgy territory. There are many other candidates, and you can see them all if you go onto the Google. Should women have to declare their baby plans in a job interview?
No, I think they should have picked more of the maternity leave.
What's interesting, Alan, is you're interacting more with Julia's topics than you are with my topics.
Well, I would like to buy BHS for a pound.
And things you can learn whilst sleeping. This is genuinely Julia's things. And the EastEnders transgender storyline.
Oh, we're ripping off Coronation Street there.
They're licking off what?
they're ripping off Coronation Street.
They're the first. I don't think they're ripping off anybody. It's very popular at the moment. Very, very current.
What about Hayley?
Hayley, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. They got their first. But does it mean, Alan, that we should only have one transgender in one soap opera, and once that's done, that's it?
Well, we haven't seen them, and they'll come up with anything.
Oh, I need to turn off notifications on my computer, but I don't know how. Alan, it's been really great talking to you.
Don't forget the catchphrase of it, can we?
Literally, not a clue. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. And that's exactly what Christian did. Christian joins me now. Good evening, Christian.
Good evening, Ian.
What have you got for us, boss?
BHS, first of all. My nan, who is 83, refuses to go in BHS because, and I quote, she says it's a bit old-fashioned.
I genuinely thought, they were talking about it on the radio, Talks Radio today, and I thought it, I genuinely thought it had gone about 20 years ago.
Well, I only know it's a thing because I walk past one on my walk to and from work.
Yeah.
But I've never been in it, and also I never see anyone in it. It's in the middle of a slightly tired shopping centre, but there's never anyone in it.
Speaking of slightly tired shopping centres, I went today into the Queensmere shopping centre in Slough, a place I was going to say I grew up in. I didn't. I grew up in a house, but a place that I know, I used to know very, very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a clue what was going on. The HMV where I used to work, gone. It's now a B&M, right? British Home Stores is gone. Pound Shop. Iceland is still there. Barclays is still there, but they've moved the door. They have. They've moved
it's
the
door. It's confusing at the best of times.
They've moved the flipping door. And I was walking around, and it brought back memories, some sad memories. Robert Dias is still there. How the hell is Robert Dias still a successful business?
A shopping centre I used to go in as a kid was Carillon Court in Loughborough.
Yeah.
And that was like my shopping centre. And I went back there for the first time in goodness knows how long, a couple of weeks ago. And the CD shop I used to buy all my CDs from has turned into a great big giant wool shop.
Wolves?
As in knitting wool and the
wool.
Wool. Which is amazing. Like all that places that I used to go and get so excited about spending pocket money, you now have wool. How's that a thing? How is a massive wool shop a thing in a 21st
century? This is the thing. That's got to be, and I don't mean to libel any companies, that's got to be a front for drugs, hasn't it? Because how can...
you think so.
How can you make profit? Well, how much does wool cost? What, 85 pence?
I don't know. I didn't go in. I just...
You can't make money selling wool.
It was depressing because the place where I used to buy cookies from has turned into one of them places that cut keys. It was all just a bit... All the soul had gone from it.
This is outrageous. And
really, I originally wanted to speak about popcorn.
Go for it, buddy. It's going to be one of those... It's going to be one of those shows tonight.
Oh, I'm enjoying it.
Well, the thing is, right, 5-star review in The Telegraph today. Five stars. Riotous or something. They say. I don't know what they said, but they're 5 stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first 2 shows when I was feeling good, you guys were feeling good, everyone was excited, I was back. The novelty for both sides of that deal has surely worn off by now, Christian. I know.
I'm still here.
Well, I know that I begrudged having to drive in this evening. Seriously. It was like, oh, not again. I might do a sickie. And if on day 3 of a job... Right, that you're contracted in for 24 months. If on day 3 you're going, well, sickie might be. That's not great. And I'm expecting as well that the listeners are thinking, yeah, this is fun, but we want to hear about immigrants and Brexit and Muslims.
Oh, no,
let's
I
go
don't,
to LBC.
The only reason I'm talking about popcorn was because I went to Boots today.
Oh yeah.
And thought I'd grab some lunch while I was in there.
I love Boots.
Boots is great, isn't it?
Boots is great. I tell you what I like doing in Boots, right? And I think they do this in all Boots, okay? Is I like queuing up to pay where it's one person, right? And so there's a long queue and there's people behind you. And you go there and you say, yeah, I couldn't find the chapsticks. And they have to come out from behind the till and they have to go and take you to the other side of the shop. And you can hear everybody, oh, sorry, I've got dry lips. And they do. They have to do it. It's the most... fun. I tell you the worst place to shop, Christian. Well, not the worst place.
Of all of them.
Of all of them. W.H. Smith. Now, I like W.H. Smith, but I tell you what they do wrong, right? It's a great shop. I go and buy all my music magazines from there. Yeah. But I've never have I been presented with so many offers of £1 chocolate. At W.H. Smith, I mean, they do it in Boots. They give you a voucher for, like, Chanel No. 5 or something. I go, I don't want that. But in Smith's, they said, here's a voucher, and would you like to buy this chocolate for £1? No.
It sells when he finished.
I just want to buy Uncut magazine. That's all I've come in for crying out loud. Anyway, Christian, popcorn, for goodness sakes, I've got a break in about 30 seconds.
Popcorn, I've worked in today, and I don't mind popcorn, but don't replace all the other snacks with popcorn. Yeah. Because they got rid of all the other crisps, I was forced into buying pineapple and coconut flavoured popcorn, which is morally wrong on every level,
yeah.
And it didn't even taste of pineapple or popcorn or anything.
No. It's the whole popcorn phenomenon. Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I don't mind it as an addition, but don't take away all the other items.
I don't even like popcorn. Popcorn doesn't even... Flippin' heck, someone sent me a price list of wool. Yeah, not expensive.
Is it that shop to look for?
Well, first of all, you've created... you're an internet sensation. Sam has said, nice to hear Kirill and Court Loughborough getting a name check. Big up Loughborough. And, Christian, we're going to lose you because the line's not particularly great. But then we'll go through the price list of wool after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So it turns out, and I apologise to all those addicted to wool, very, very, very expensive. Very expensive. This could be why there is a rise of homeless old women, because of the cost of wool. Vaughan has sent this in. Thank you, Vaughan. Wool. Hello, Catherine.
I'm a closet knitter.
Okay. Wool.
It's expensive.
It's very small. I can't really see it, so I've got to bring it closer to me. Mm. A Bernat blanket big ball.
Yeah.
$9.99.
That's a big ball, though. That's going to be...
A Bernat Pipsqueak. $3.99.
Yeah, that's cheap stuff.
Bernat Softy Baby. Softy Baby. $4.99.
Yeah.
So it's certainly...
That's quite cheap for wool.
It's certainly more than the 85 pence I was expecting. The thing is, right, it's like the idiots that make their own bread, right? You can buy it.
Yeah.
And you can buy bread.
Yeah.
And you can buy jumpers.
Yeah.
And you can buy scarves.
Let me tell you why I started knitting.
Please do, Catherine. This is going to be an interesting story.
Swollen ankles.
Let's be careful where we go with that. Yes.
Very pregnant with my first child, and I had very swollen ankles, so I had to sit down.
Yeah.
I am not a sitter down.
Yes.
The only thing that can make me sit down is if I'm doing something at the same time.
Yeah.
Some things are frowned upon when you're sitting down in company. Yeah. Knitting isn't.
Right, okay.
So I started knitting, and I'm really good at it. Well, like, really good at it.
I've never...
To the point where I've paid, like, 15, 20 quid for a ball of wool.
Hang on,
knitted my own jumpers.
How much have you paid?
Like, 15 or 20 quid.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah, only the finest.
It doesn't mean...
It washes nicer.
It doesn't mean that you're good at it, though.
No, I'm awesome at it.
Never!
Tomorrow, I'll wear the jumper that I knitted myself, and you can have a look at it.
It's
twiddly and everything.
My nan knitted me a great jumper that I asked her to knit for Christmas. Was really into the...
Go on.
I'm going to say something and it's not going to mean anything. And do you know what? I don't actually want to explain it.
Just say it then.
When I was like 15, 16, me and my friends were really into the number 7.
All right, well, numbers can be fun.
We were into the number 7.
It's a lucky number.
Do you remember the guy on Sesame Street, the painter? Hey, I got a pain of 7.
No, I remember the counter.
Okay. He was a count. Steady.
There's no need.
Steady, for crying out loud. We were obsessed by the number 7. And I got my nan to make me a jumper, black jumper with a big red 7 on it.
All right. That's the wrong way around. I
only wore it once because then I thought, oh, I look stupid. I did look stupid, but,
yeah, but
my nan made it.
You can be stupid and knowing it.
Not when you're 15, 16, you want to be cool.
You'd wear it now, wouldn't you?
I would. Oh, man alive.
I would not say yes. But I certainly would not say no.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We'll call you back.
If you're very good, I'll knit you another one.
Kyle!
Hello, yeah.
Kyle! Kyle! Oh, if only. If no.
No Hyling,
okay. I'm Hyling is in the sense of the producers, the movie, which was discussed on the show previous to this. There are shows on talk radio that are not me, and it rhymes with Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Oh, well, people have said C. Kyle before, as in C. Kyle.
C. Kyle, yeah, there we go, you see. Fun things that will actually probably get me in trouble. So let's move on. What have you got for us, Kyle?
Well, do you know, you've covered so many things already tonight.
Mate, 23 minutes in. And about 12:30, we think, we're not sure, we may have got the time wrong, Dennis Le Corriere, the lead singer from Doctor Hook's coming on. Oh, baby. Oh,
excellent.
Hang on a minute. This is... Anyway, listen. Listen, this is who's coming on. This guy. Hang on. This is a...
Everybody must be on drugs in this town. Or maybe there's a strange new bug that's been going round.
Come on, Denny!
Because people are smiling and waving as I go by. Everybody loves me and I don't know why.
Yes, he's coming on. I love him. I love Dr. Hook. Here's the thing, right, Kyle, and you've got me angry now, so, I'm going to take it out on you, buddy.
Okay.
You got all these snobs, right? You get the elite, right? Mm-hmm. And what they do... By the way, put the... Kath, first 10 minutes with Alan Caddick. There you go, it's your podcast. You get the elite, right?
Yeah.
And the first two calls. And then you go, oh, you can't like this music. Oh, you like that music, you're an idiot. Oh, you shouldn't like that. Do you know what? Up yours. Up yours, Delors, right? If I like it, I like it. And that's kind of the end of the rant, actually.
I personally like Russ Abbott, Atmosphere. I think it's a great tune.
It's a great... tune. It's a great tune.
Well, yeah, no, I'd loads of you've mentioned loads of stuff, but I don't know. Okay, two things I was going to mention to you, but yes. But I used to work at W.H. Smith.
I tell you what, Kyle, instead of obfuscating,
okay.
I think I've used that word. I've never said that word out loud. Instead of obfuscating, just dive in. Just pick a point and dive in.
It's 2 points. Well, one, when you said before about popcorn, you were saying about things being from America.
Yeah.
Well, pizza isn't American, is it? It's Italian.
No, mate, it's American.
Well, where's your Ev?
Because I remember seeing an episode of Happy Days, right? Filmed in the 70s, set in the 50s.
Right.
Right. Before Italians had even been invented. And Potsy Weber came through the door with a pizza the size of Idaho.
Right.
What country is Happy Days from?
Well,
I accept your apology. Point number two, buddy.
I was alerted this week to the fact there's a dub version, which I'm sure you've got, of the Coronation Street theme tune.
I've not got that. I have not heard. I haven't got as much music as I used to have on this computer because I had a little bit of a problem. I've only got 14,500 songs. I have not got the dub version of Coronation Street. I'm really hoping that you can sing it to us.
I can either sing it or I can play you a brief snatch. So it's up to you.
Mm.
You're the gaffer, you know.
Give us a snatch.
Right, hang on. So it sounds like this if it works down the phone. Hang on. It's mellow.
Hey, this is all right, actually.
Not bad, is it?
I wouldn't say that was dub. That's more like ska.
No, sorry. As I said, dub. No.
What?
No, it was like a thing. It's on my phone, started beeping. No, it's like, I would say a reggae version. I would say reggae, not dub, maybe.
You said you would say reggae, not dub. But if you think back, Carl, you said dub. Dub is,
I would say that's
not reggae. That's more sort of like 60s ska. Hey, there was a funny thing, right? There was a thing on Radio 4, Talk Radio.
Oh yeah,
about
because
it's all I listen to about Denmark Street in London, right? And it's where all the music publishers used to be in the 50s and 60s, and the Sex Pistols used to live around there, and it's now full of guitar shops and stuff like that. And they're thinking of knocking it down, of course, because it's really old, traditional, and it's got history. So they want to knock it down and make it into, I don't know, a river island or something, right?
Oh.
And the reporter said, Many famous rock guitarists purchased or had guitars made for them in Denmark Street, including Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and Eddie Grant. Eddie Grant?
He was good. He liked your cap and you.
He was good, but I didn't even know he could play the guitar.
Yeah, well, you didn't see it in the videos, but he must have been able to do it.
What, hang on a minute. Why must Eddie Grant, 0844 499 1000, if you can give us any details on Eddie Grant's musical heritage, why must we assume that Eddie Grant could play the guitar?
Because he's a musician.
Well, hang on a minute. Mel C is a musician. I bet she can't play the guitar.
I bet she can't. I bet she's got the old six stringer. I bet she is.
Well, I don't know if that sounds like a euphemism, Carl. I'm not totally sure. Oh man, alive! Can we start the show? We haven't even started the show properly yet. We will get to we'll get there eventually. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The way it works is I kind of sit here and I've got things written down. Best actor. Well, I've got to get into that. Popcorn, British home stores, shopping centres. Now, when you read it like that, it doesn't sound very exciting. Actually, it sounds very dull, doesn't it? But you can call in about anything you want. It's not. I'll set out the stall again. Basically, this is kind of the. How would a marketing team sell this? Apart from the wild man of radio. Oh yeah, they would say this is the antidote to the stuffy, dull late night phone-ins that you get elsewhere, where they'll be talking about Muslims and Brexit and Brussels and you're either milking a cow or entertaining two midgets. What are you doing there? I can't read your lips. But I can't read it. Come in and shout it, for crying out loud. I've got two people mouthing something and miming something very, very vulgar.
Black cabs!
Thank you very much. And this is kind of... this is kind of the opposite of that. Eduardo, we'll talk to you after this.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mama put the popcorn kernels in the pot. She turned up the heat, now the pot is getting hot. And when those popcorn kernels start to pop, 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 pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, p something.
Yeah, go on.
That has become pertinent.
That has been missed from the debate so far.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh,
I think that, you know, I've seen a lot of blokes wandering about in their sort of
wandering
late 30s.
You said wandering. You mean wandering?
Wandering. With baggy jeans, and this. I'll tell you where it sprung from, because you mentioned the word dub. And whenever I pull up behind a Volkswagen, it's like got dub on it, and I look inside it, and it's a bloke in his 40s, and I think you really should know better.
Dub.
Why is it dub? What is dub?
Do you know what? I got distracted for a second, because one minute we're talking about jeans, then I looked away because I saw a picture of the Fonz, and then I come back,
Can you get the Fonz on?
We'll get the Fonz on. Yeah, easy.
What about Derek Griffiths?
We'll get Derek Griffiths on. I like Derek Griffiths.
So,
what's the connection between jeans and dub?
I'm just saying that I think there's a point where you stop wearing jeans and T-shirts with, like, logos on them, fake American college logos. And you stop growing a... What are you wearing right now?
I've got jeans on, and I've got kind of blue top that I got. It was only a fiver in Gap, but it's got short sleeves on it. There's not got a hood. But yesterday I did have a very thin, well, I would call it a cardigan, but it had a hood. And I was wearing a Sparks T-shirt. Sparks, of course, being a rock duo.
Oh, yeah, we know who Sparks are. That's right.
But that
salvaged it a little bit.
Oh, I knew what they are. I could name three of their albums, so at least. So you're allowed to do that. But I think I always thought you're right. But now I'm a 42. I'm going to be 43-year-old dad of two.
God Lord!
I don't actually give a stuff. I don't care what I look like. And also, I agree with you about the jeans. But I think because I remember the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen some sights. Was Gordon Brown in a pair of jeans. But he was wearing the kind of jeans your mum would buy from British home stores.
Which you bought for £1, I heard.
Yeah, I've bought it for £1. Whereas
it's VHS now. I said to my kids, British home stores, and they just looked at me like, what? Where's that? And that's VHS, isn't it?
Isn't it indeed? But they should. But the shame on them, and shame on. I'm going to question your parenting, because they should. If something's got,
shocking.
if something's got letters,
yes.
I want to know what those letters mean.
Okay. GHD.
Sorry.
Exactly.
I didn't know. I didn't hear what you said.
GHD.
THD.
GHD.
Well, where is that from?
I don't know. Just some letters that came.
Well, no, you can't just make up. I'm talking about real things. You don't just make up.
One thing. This is really important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uber is better than London Black Taxi.
Hang on a second. What?
PhDs.
Where?
Hair straighteners.
Yeah.
Good hair day.
Why don't you just come instead of shouting through there? What are you doing?
Well, also he's talking about.
GHD is a thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's what?
It's hair straighteners.
All right.
Good hair day. It's nice.
Is that well? That's good. That's we've learned something.
There you go. See, I didn't know that. You love Timmy Mallett.
Thank you very much indeed. Speaking of dull callers.
Hello.
Gatford.
Yeah. Time for everyone to go and make a cup of tea. Yep.
I'm struggling to understand people on there. This really sounds muffled in my ears.
You're going blind and you're going deaf.
I'm not going blind.
The end coming?
When
you said earlier you had to move nearer to a screen to see something.
No, it was tiny. The wool listing was absolutely tiny.
I'll let you off. So you're just going deaf.
It's National Puppy Day today.
Oh, I've
so
got
can,
one.
Can we see your puppies? Here's a picture of Bruce Springsteen. With a puppy down his top.
Can I see?
Yeah, honestly, it's a picture.
Is it a real puppy?
Yes.
Because last time you said you were going to show
Bruce
me a puppy.
It's a real picture of Bruce Springsteen on Twitter with a puppy down his T-shirt.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
So
are you retweeting so I can look at it in a minute?
Do you know what? Yeah, I'm going to retweet it. There we go. Retweet it.
He's dinky, isn't he? The boss.
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen. You know how he gets around? He's so tiny, he fits in people's turnips on their jeans.
Aww.
And he sits and rides in there. And that's a true story.
But let him call himself the boss.
Who came up with the title The Boss?
Probably
him. I'm the boss. I'm Bruce Springsteen and I'm the boss.
Well, why? I mean, he's from New York, isn't he? New York City.
New York City.
New Jersey, I believe.
I never got Springsteen.
Oh, no, well, the summer good and undisputably good.
Well,
though, I think. You have to watch Springsteen live.
I haven't got time, mate. He's still playing a concert now that he started 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I think I've seen him live. The band, they're good.
E Street Band.
Yeah.
You didn't even know the name of the band. The band is Robbie Robertson.
Well, no, the E Street Band.
Okay. But I don't want to see him live. I don't want to see him live because I don't like his song. He'd be singing his songs, wouldn't he?
Yeah, some of them are good, though.
So I don't want to see him.
Well, he's not going to turn up and do a number by Mariah Carey, is he?
The only
I'd pay to see that.
The best Bruce Springsteen song he didn't even have a hit with. Manfred Mann's Earth Band had a hit with it. And what's that song?
Is it Fire?
No. What? That's Arthur Brown.
No, he did one.
Come on, guys. The Bruce Springsteen.
Manfred Mann's
Earth Band.
Is it the one with the numbers in it?
Sorry?
No, they didn't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, did they?
No, they did 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that was Manfred Mann. Not Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Okay. I don't know, then. I give up.
You win.
Good. And that gives me a sense of satisfaction, the likes of which... Let me try this version. Here we go. You'll know this. Here we go. This is it.
Go on.
Hang on a minute. The computer's a little bit slow.
I want to do my bit about Eddie Grant.
Let's go to this. Here we go. Here we go. Hang on.
You're saying here we go, and we're not going.
I'm having to... Hang on a minute. I'm having trouble with the Wi-Fi. Here we go. Here we go. This. Get to the chorus. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus. No, there we go. Hang on. Hang on. Here we go. This bit. Here we go. This bit. This.
Blinded
up like a deuce, another runner in the night, blinded by the light.
The only decent song Bruce Springsteen ever did.
What, you don't like Born to Run?
I don't like
Born to Run. Everyone likes Born to Run.
Bored to Run.
Streets of Philadelphia?
Well, no one likes that.
The Streets of Philadelphia. But you can't say you don't like it because it's about a touching subject.
Yeah, no, I like Fire.
That you're thinking of the Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
No, I'm not. There's a belting song by Springsteen called Fire, and it's cool.
Well, I bet it's rubbish, because he's rubbish.
No.
Well, Gaffer, thanks for calling.
I was going
to... There we go. Let's go to Paul's in St Albans. Hello, Paul's. Oh, no, hang on. Let's try again. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you? How's it going?
Do you know what, mate? I've had terrible... My life is at a crossroads, right? I've given up caffeine. Day two... of no caffeine. Day two of no caffeine. I'm giving up Nurofen. I take too many Nurofen, right? Because I constantly have headaches. So I'm trying to give them up, right? And I feel rotten. I feel as rough as a dog's bum.
That's not good. Didn't you try giving up coffee once before?
I did give up coffee once before, Paul, and I'll tell you what happened after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I've got Kate Lawler texting me because she's starting a show on Virgin Radio. Call me in! I used to work with Kate Lawler many, many years ago. And, Kate, you were the kiss of death to my career. If you're listening, I might do, but if you're not, you can jog on. It could be the Rise reunion, guys. Huh? Eh? That's what everybody's waiting for. Paul is in St Albans. Paul, I gave up caffeine and then went back on it, and now I've given it up again, and I'm hoping that I feel better. But at the moment, nervous is not the thing. Anxious. I'm an anxious wreck, Paul.
Oh, my Lord, that's not good. That's not good.
A lot of anxiety going on.
I was the one on your Twitter that did the hashtag pierced for Ian Lee.
Oh, geez.
Remember me on my birthday?
Yes, mate, I've seen your genitals.
You have seen my genitals.
I don't want to think about your horrible, wrinkly sack again.
But you didn't see it because I didn't show it quite like the way you're portraying it today.
I don't want it portrayed in any way at all.
But it has another piercing in there because you were back on the radio, so I thought I'd celebrate it.
There was once when I used to work at Absolute. Virgin, I think it was at the time. There was this woman who used to listen, and she phoned up. She said, I'm going to get your name tattooed on my bum. And I thought she was joking, right? So I kind of went along with it. And then she sent me a picture of her other buttock, and she had another presenter's name tattooed on her bum. And I realised she was serious. And I begged her. I don't think she did it in the end. But I begged her not to do it. But it turns out, legally, if someone wants to get your name tattooed on their bum, legally, you haven't got a leg to stand on.
Well, it's actually quite a bizarre law, really, then. That's not supported. I mean, you know.
It's not supported.
I could have loads of presenters' names all tattooed over me.
Yes.
Or pierced all over me, even.
Yes, 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 you could. And that poor presenter would be unable to prevent that from happening.
Oh, do you want me to take it out there, mate?
I don't want to... Stop talking to me about your privates. I'm not interested.
Oh, I'm sorry. But how are you doing anyway? You all okay?
I'm you know, up and down, mate, up and down. But we get there eventually. We get somewhere eventually. Paul, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. Now, I'm aware we've got lots of people who follow me from other places and lots of new people listening for the first time are going, what the hell is this? It's whatever you want it to be. Is that vague enough for you? Is that, you know, it's whatever you want it to be. You want to call in and talk about the stuff we're talking about, that's fine. If you want to call in and talk about Brexit or talk about, you know, that boring stuff, you can do. I don't really have any interest in it whatsoever, but it's that kind of forum where you can do that. Geeky Girl's on the line.
Hey!
Where's the bell gone?
Oh, well, my nan got that in the end. Nice. I did buy it for her, and I was sort of ringing it for you in the interim before she got it.
Well, okay, that's fine. We can carry on talking. But
okay, but I do not have any piercings for you. I'm sorry.
No, good. I don't get I don't get tats. I don't get piercings. I don't get any of that stuff. You know, I feel bold when I go to, I went to the hairdressers today, and I asked her to give me a number two around the sides. Ooh. That makes me feel like I'm living on the edge.
And then how does it look?
I look very, very smart. I said I want it. I've got number two on the sides, and I want to be able to slick it back on the top. And I trim my beard a little bit. I'm looking oh. old. I'm looking old is
dapper.
What I'm looking.
I think dapper is the word.
Dapper. Dapper laughs.
Oh, God, no. He spoiled that word, didn't he?
Dapper. Here we go. Here we go. And now the show starts, because you have given me the best topic, right? Well, this is brilliant, Geeky Girl. Thank you. Words that have been spoilt, and how were they spoilt? Ladies and gentlemen, the first one is dapper, spoilt by dapper laughs. I'm actually writing this down. This is it. Well, now we're off.
Good stuff, yeah.
This is why we get 5-star reviews in the Telegraph, because words that have been ruined and how they were ruined. And yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
there we go. I started doing a Savile then, and I realised you're actually not allowed to do a Savile.
I don't know, on commercial it might be different.
The BBC. I can reveal the secrets, right? At the BBC, we all knew what he was up to. We were given a dossier of everything he was up to, and the others.
Even the cleaners.
And the others. We knew what, I know what everybody got up to. We were all told, and we were all sat there laughing about it, because we all knew.
Next scandal. Tomorrow's
heads. Next scandal. I know what the next scandal is, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, I do.
You're not going to share tonight.
No, I'm not, because I don't want to get sued.
No, fair play.
Fair play.
And, I had a little idea for you, Mr. Lee.
Oh, yeah, go on, fantastic.
And it's not a feature, because I know you hate features.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You know how you've got a nice late night slot?
Oh, beautiful. I've got the dream job. I mean, I get home at 2:30 in the morning, and then my kids wake me up at 6:30. But apart from that, I've got the dream gig. I couldn't be more pleased with this slot. Yes.
Yeah, it is a great slot, you know. You're riding high, it's good, yeah? But some people, as you know, have to get up in the morning, you know. And I just wondered, because some people can't call in live, what about getting a voicemail system where people can leave messages, even just cheeky, whatever, bits of music, or, you know, they can start a question or whatever. And then if there's ever a section where you feel like there aren't enough calls at that time, or like you just feel you're a bit random, just press it.
All right, I'll sort that out for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think then the people who can't live can join in.
It's that easy. Geeky Girl, it's getting done. It'll be done. I'll have a phone number tomorrow for you. There we go. I like that. Words that have been ruined. Dapper. I literally can't think of any others off the top of my head. But Oh, Paul's quiz on Twitter says Fandabby-Dozy was ruined by the Crankies. They invented Fandabby-Dozy. They may have, I mean, they may have ruined it eventually, but they invented the word, for crying out loud. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I'm noticing a trend. Busy for the first 45 minutes, then it drops off, and that's fine. Fine by me. It's a brand new radio station. I'm aware of the limitations of broadcasting only online and on DAB. And it's only day three, for crying out loud. If you want to give us a call, though, 0844 499 1000. You can get in touch on Twitter, at Ian Lee. And that's enough forms of communication. Here's one of my bugbears at the moment. Got a lot of bugbears. I've had a lot of time to develop a lot of bugbears. And I noticed Paul Ross did it. And Paul Ross can ease off a little bit. They do it a lot on the Victoria Derbyshire show on TV, where they go, and you can get in touch on this number, or you can text this number, or you can go to our Facebook page, or you can tweet us, or you can email us, or visit our Instagram. And it goes on and on. And I'm thinking, I'm going to contact you in all those ways until you just stick it up your bum. Stop it. Just give us a phone, give a phone number and an email. Or a text and a tweet. Give us that. Give two. I can deal with two. My brain can cope with two. Any more than that, and it's just... What do you want me to do, guys? So, 0844 499 1000. Ruined words, David says, at Ian Lee. That boat is going to be called Boaty McBoatface, by the way, apparently. I've missed the Boaty McBoatface thing. Is that actually going to happen? I hope so. Ruined words. Circa 1990, my mum called my Converse trainers snazzy. Mums can crush you, can't they? With, I mean, some mums can. Literally. Cool says, Cool Modi says the word spike was ruined by Steve Allen. I know where I'd like to shove that 4 a.m. spike. Failed LBC presenter, is that what he called me? Oh, Steve, do grow up. Do grow up. Rob's on the line. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right. I've just found a little bit of sweet and sour sauce from a Chinese from earlier on my wrist, and I'm scraping it off as I talk to you. There we go. Gone. Good. Yes, Rob.
There's a thing of beauty. Any post today?
Any post?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming what you mean is you've sent me something rude, and I don't know where the post is collected here. I haven't got a pigeonhole. I haven't got a slot that people put things in. Huh? So well, I don't know if there's a. Let me ask Id. Id, do you know?
Hi.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We're not interested.
Okay. There's cake here if you want some.
And Kath and I have got a present for you.
Oh, should I be
Did he bring his own cake
no,
in?
He did bring his own cake in. He's don't call him... he is. Don't call him that. Have I got any post?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Ah.
Well, what have you sent me, Rob? Is it a puppy for National Puppy Day?
It's a surprise.
I look forward to waiting.
Okay. So, a word that's been ruined...
Oh, no. I've got a dump button now.
It's all right, it's clean. Tuppence.
Thanks for calling, Rob.
Bye.
Eliza's tweeting me. Hurry up and phone back. I want to discuss old shops. Did you call in, Eliza? Did she... She's nuts, is she? Is she... Why... I'm getting grief. On Twitter, from people. Go on.
Just going to have to wait a turn.
That's producing. That's Catherine Boyle producing. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The show, Words That Were Ruined, to you, to me, the Chuckle Brothers... okay. We'll have a look in the papers in a little bit. it's all a bit heavy in the papers today. There's very little light. Obviously, you know, because of the idiots yesterday. There's very little light in the papers. There's bits, but you've got to search really hard to find it. So maybe we'll do that in a little bit. You making some phone calls? Okay, is it her turn now? Is it her turn now? Can I talk to her? Elizabeth!
Hey. Hello, Ian.
Now, it says...
Can I just...
No. yes, you can, but it says Elizabeth on the screen, but Eliza on Twitter. Who the hell are you, you imposter?
I'm Elizabeth Scott, the one and only.
Oh, there we go. Beautiful.
Can I just take a minute to discuss the fact that British Home Stores now, I don't know who they think they are, but they've started selling pistachio cake. Now, when I was a child, it was chip bombs, fairy cakes, yes, and that usual stuff. But pistachio cake at British Home Stores?
Who do they think they are?
Who do they think they are? Now, do you remember CNA?
I do. I was stood outside what used to be CNA in Slough today, and I had very fond memories of it, yes.
Oh, I used to love Clock House.
What?
Clock House was like the teenage range in CNA.
They got rid of the CNA before I became a teenager. You must be older than me.
I'm 31.
Flipping out, you're a child.
And Texas, do you remember Texas? Have I blown your mind, Ian?
I do remember Texas, yes, I do remember. The DIY shop?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They had a cafe as well. Basically, the only shops I can remember have cafes in them.
I've got to go to the news, but will you call again? Not tonight.
I will. Not tonight. No. But I'll phone you again.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ian. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I don't want to blow my own radio.
I'll learn. I don't want to blow my own trumpet, primarily because I don't have one, but we've had more calls in that hour than I think the whole station has had in the last 3 days. Thank you, guys. Another hour of this nonsense. You fancy another hour and a half? Then we'll have Dennis Le Corriere live at 12:30. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. British Home Stores, popcorn, and words that were ruined, and how. So far, we've got Dapper. Here comes the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's, they're coming in thick and fast. Words that have been ruined and why. Started off with Dapper, ruined by Dapper Laughs. David on Twitter says banter. Yeah, banter. A few people have said Trump. I've just had, you ruined the word doorbells. I can't say anymore without putting on an Indian accent. Well, these things happen. I've just had a thought of a way to make probably not much money. Top Trumps. Based on Donald Trump. Okay, I'm not getting any response from the team, which makes me think it's a really good idea. And they're just trying to freak me out by making me feel bad about it so that they can then go and do it themselves. So I'm going to go and do it. Thanks very much indeed. Penny!
I'm trying to get my head around Top Trump, Donald Trump. What?
Top Trumps. You know Top Trumps, yeah?
Yeah, I know Top Trumps. But I'm just trying to work out what categories do you have when you've got Donald Trump, Top. I can't
all right.
say it.
Let's height.
Hair.
Yeah, hair skills.
Insults.
Okay, there you go. You see, you've got it. Insults.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Yeah, I just took it a while.
Electability.
Yeah, good
and
one. Good one.
Racism.
Yeah.
The racism factor.
Not a game you're going to play with the kids, is it?
Height, hair skills, insults, electability, and the racism factor. There we go. It's Donald Trump, Top Trumps. I mean,
how the hell have you got from BHS to Donald Trump, top Trump?
Mate, I don't know, and I'm worried that the Daily Telegraph are going to get in touch and take away that five stars.
It was a good review, that. It was a very good review, that one.
Well, yeah, it was a good review, right? But they devoted more time to a 10-year-old who called in than me!
What's Danny Baker said about that? Has he commented on the review yet?
No, he's not. He's too busy with his own thing, bless him. Catherine's joining us in the studio. Catherine, at last.
Is that right?
Have you done the first half of the podcast
yet? Done.
Okay, right. We're going to get out a decent time tonight?
Can we talk knitting with Kath now?
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to wear that jumper tomorrow and you're going to be astounded, Ian, because it's proper fiddly.
Lino sent an excellent message, which I need to scroll back down to...
If I just describe it to you, Penny, it's like fair isle. So really
Lino says, and this is a great idea, to save money if you want to knit jumpers and wool is so expensive.
Wool.
Why not just...
What?
Why not just buy a cheap jumper, unravel it, and use that wool?
Don't joke, Ian, don't joke. There are loads of people who spend time going to charity shops, buying cheap jumpers that are made of really good wool.
There we go.
They unwind them all and then knit with it.
He says you'll know you've got just enough for a jumper.
Well, yeah, unless you make a mess of it.
I don't get... I tell you what my nan did, and she cheated, because she didn't do it, you know, the clicky, you know, the... Mm. She had a knitting machine.
Oh, no.
And that's not knitting, cheating. Is it? That's like a giant credit card machine from the 80s.
I had a colleague that used to do that. When I got into knitting, I started talking to her about it. She said, I'm going to start knitting. I thought, great, because it's such a lovely pastime.
What a boring conversation.
I'll tell you who it was later on.
Okay.
And she said, oh, sorry, I'm going to start knitting. And she bought herself a knitting machine, not knitting needles, knitting machine. And I said, do you know what? You might as well not bother. There's no soul in that. No soul whatsoever. A knitting machine. And I went right off her. Because it's just going through the motions, that, isn't it?
But, Kath, have you ever done giant knitting?
I've done quite big knitting, but I've not done massive knitting, no.
My good old WI group, next month, we're doing giant knitting.
Penny, I've got to interrupt. We've got a news flash. We've got a news flash just come up on the screen. Breaking news. Blimey. OK, well, we can do this. Donald Trumps exists. And the categories are racism, sexism, creepiness, xenophobia, fascism, and craziness. Mm. It exists. So
we were
the
halfway
fact
there, though,
that,
with
the fact that words that have been ruined, John and Gaunt. Now, come on. The fact that it's been made means that my idea was a good idea. I just need to keep having them.
Yeah.
Until I get that one that hasn't been made. Mm-hmm. And that's all I need to do, Penny.
Anyway, so how big is your knitting, Penny?
This is really dull. This is we had 15 minutes last night talking to a pensioner about tie-dye.
John Sebastian.
It was John Sebastian.
That was good.
It was good.
Hey,
and did you see his jacket at Woodstock, Penny?
I haven't seen the pictures yet. I was driving, listening to the podcast earlier.
It was proper elaborate.
The fact that he he found a trunk full of all of that stuff, including the outfit. Man alive. I would pay top dollar to have... Here we go. Clothes that you would buy at any cost. I would give everything to have John Sebastian's clothes from Woodstock 1969.
I like Cher's Red Indian outfit.
Oh, baby. This is it. So words have been ruined. And clothes that you'd want. That's not quite such a catchy title. Produce it, make it sound
better. I liked her outfits when they were proper outfits, Penny. I don't like it when she's just wore a sequin and a smile.
Oh, I liked the one when she was sat on board that gun.
Astride it, yeah.
Because it was meant to...
If I could turn
no,
back
you
time!
No, you just did share.
Yeah.
Because the gun was phallic. And I looked up and that
she
means...
She was on a boat full of sailors as well.
Yeah.
Did you miss that?
Well, phallic means penis.
You know what they call sailors?
What? Seamen? Oh, come on now. We're better than that, aren't we? No. No, we're not.
We're down the gutter. Only show three and in the gutter. You're doing well.
I've been listening to a lot of John Holmes.
I think he's very good.
I think so funny. I worry that he's better than me.
He is, yeah. Sorry?
Gosh. And that he's ruder than me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be better than him and ruder than him.
Why don't you have a Rudolph?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Section called Tradesman's Entrance, which I caught yesterday.
That was really good, wasn't it?
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a feature called Up My Bum.
You win.
Hey, speaking of up my bum.
No. Not again.
No. This is brilliant, right? This is absolutely brilliant. I love this. This is a story I found in the paper. Dealer's bum rap.
Oh, not another one.
A drug smuggler who tried to smuggle two phones into prison up his bottom.
Mobile phones or like proper.
The candlestick ones. Now, the thing is, I can imagine getting one up there.
Why?
A small one.
All right. But, like early 90s.
Yeah. You know the little flip ones? The
not
tiny
a flip
ones.
One. You want like a Nokia 3210.
But two. Oof.
You've got to be determined to make those calls, haven't you?
Flippin' heck. Emmanuel Okuboti. That's his name.
No, it's not.
Okuboti. Was caught.
I bet he was.
Hey, this is in Britain as well. Was caught with an X-ray chair.
What?
Flippin' heck. X-ray chairs. We can celebrate the magic of chairs. 0844 499 1000. Was caught on an X-ray chair at Belmarsh Prison, detected the CZ Long JH.
Look it up.
Yeah, here we go. Hang on a minute.
We're Googling that.
CZ Long JH. I'm wondering...
I'm just worried that they had to go as far as an X-ray chair.
Hey, look at that. That's
the way you walk to give it away.
Hey, that is tiny. I could get about a dozen of them at mine. That is tiny.
Gosh.
Hey, that's all right, isn't it?
By the way, if you're listening at home and thinking about smuggling phones, don't. It's bad for you.
Oh, yeah. No, don't do it. They've got X-ray chairs now. The 24-year-old was convicted of possession of Class B drugs. I get so confused with the drug culture now. Is Class B good or bad? I mean, they're all bad. Is
it's not quite as naughty as an A.
But is marijuana a B now? Or has it gone back to being a C?
It was moving from C to B, I think.
Oh, you know a lot about it.
Oh, Penny.
Oh, man, I'm Penny. I've got my Women's Institute. Aye. Okuboti of Catford, South East London, had a string of convictions, the old Bailey Herb. What were they up there as well? Maybe, I tell you what we'll do. Let's find out the world record for the number of phones up one man's backside, and I'll beat it.
I am not arbitrating that. You can get a man from the clipboard.
We'll get Norris McWhirter to look into it. Yeah!
But except he's dead, so...
I've got another one.
What?
Lubrication. Yeah, lubrication. Lubrication, that's what you need. If you want to beat Okuboti, get your phones up your butty. Lubrications. You're giving me that the hand. Okay.
I was wondering if you're going to do the end bit, if you want to be a...
Anyway, Penny, was there any point to this call? Because you've really dragged us down into the gutter, my darling.
Fancy doing that, Penny.
I'm sorry.
And you a mother.
About BHS, but, yep. You know, let's not worry about BHS.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Noah. Good evening, Noah.
Good evening, Ian.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. In fact, I love your irreverent and offbeat show. It's really good for my blood pressure.
Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not. I'm just in the kitchen.
Okay. Whereabouts are you calling from?
Officially Liverpool.
Okay. Unofficially Beijing.
Well away from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whereabouts? Wales?
Yeah.
Why the mystery, Noah?
Just sort of a little internet trolling thing.
Oh. Okay. We're going to call you That's For Me to Noah.
Oh, look, there's a picture of sharing. Whereabouts? Swansea?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just outside.
Yeah. I know who you are.
And I know that you know who I am.
And I know who you are as well, because I heard you.
Well, in fact, I played...
But I can't believe it's the same person.
I thought it was you, and I played, Kath, a clip of you.
Yeah, that clip.
Yeah, that clip. Why? And I'm so confused.
Why were you so... I mean, you don't sound like the same person. Because you were furious then. Furious.
Yeah, well, I tell you why. The first time I ever heard of Ian Lee was, believe it or not, reading Retro Gamer magazine. Because he used to do little columns in there.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, the one that sticks out most to me was that letter you wrote to your 10-year-old self telling yourself that you were going to be a father.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was nice. Well, I'm surprised I've touched you. Why are you using the name Noah?
I just...
I don't mind. Listen, people can call in and be whoever they want. It's just, I've heard you on this station in various incarnations, on TalkSport in various incarnations. I've heard you on LBC. I just wondered why. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
No, it's really boring and pedantic, but it's actually blazing, Noah. It's all one word.
It's what?
Yeah, that's the handle I use on Twitter.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Name.
Okay, so you're using that instead of the... Okay.
Yeah, officially, the name on our birth certificates is Crown Copyright, so the Queen owns our names. So if she decides she doesn't like us, she can say...
Hang on a minute.
He doesn't exist anymore.
Hang on a minute. The Queen owns my name?
She owns all our names.
How?
Because the birth certificates... Crown Copyright.
Right.
So, the Queen could just decide you no longer exist.
Yeah.
And she could... and you could lose your identity overnight.
And when has that ever happened?
Nothing I can recall offhand, but there was an episode back in the 1990s... Due South, do you remember that?
I do remember Due South. The guy, America. He looked like he was a Mountie, and he looked like Jack D.
Jack D, yeah.
Yeah, well, that happened to his buddy in the Chicago Police Department in one episode, because he said he was dead on some kind of medical form.
You know Due South wasn't a documentary, don't you?
Yeah, I know, it was a comedy.
But the Queen wouldn't have owned... The Queen wouldn't have owned his name.
Well, if he was a Canadian, she would.
Was it a Canadian or an American it happened to?
It happened to an American.
Wouldn't know, none of her business.
Yeah.
It's a bit technical, but it's pretty much the same. Governments or royalty, they technically own our names.
When
you give your child a name and put it on the birth certificate, that's then the property of the Queen.
Do you know what, Noah? I feel foolish now for having even bothered giving my kids names.
You shouldn't have even had kids, to be honest.
No, I shouldn't.
You should, really.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, did you... Well, listen, I appreciate your indulgence. We've got to go to a break in a second, but was there anything you wanted to contribute to the show?
Yeah, about words that had been ruined.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little bit serious for a minute.
Okay.
Good.
I think the word misogyny's been ruined.
Oh.
Yeah, because...
there's flipping women. There's flipping awful women.
Well, it's not just the women who have ruined it. But misogyny these days seems to mean to a certain group of people, disagreeing with a woman is misogyny, opening a door for a woman is somehow misogyny, everything is misogyny for some reason or other.
Yeah.
Whereas in reality, misogyny is rather like what Rob Titchener is doing to Helen Archer in The Archers.
Well, no, that's domestic abuse, isn't it?
Well, it's born from misogyny. Because he's so frightened that Helen Archer will leave him, he has to break her down psychologically
to make her independent. We're going to go to the break in a second. I don't think he's doing it because he's afraid she will leave him. He's doing it out of... I can't believe we're dissecting the plot of The Archers. He's doing it out of insecurity for his own... for himself...
Yeah,
and to bully and control. He's doing it for control.
Yeah, and that's actually born out of a childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Probably because his mother did something to him that he found so traumatic.
Yes, because the relationship between him and his mum is weird.
Oh, it's creepy.
I'm really late for a break. The thing is, did you notice about 8 months ago when they got married, he had Henry, the boy's... He is the legal parent of that boy now. He's adopted him.
Yeah.
So that means that he's going to get the boy and she won't.
According to the last time I listened in, he's packing him off to boarding school.
Oh. Oh,
genius.
No, I've got to go. It's always a pleasure to discuss The Archers with another fan. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Ta-ta.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, it's 20 minutes past 11. Give us a call. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We'll give you a call back. What are we talking about? Words that have been ruined? clothes that you want. It's kind of a slightly vague thing, and we may drop that. Oh, and other bits and pieces. We're talking about British home stores, popcorn, all kinds of stuff. The way I want this show to be is it's kind of an alternative, what they would call an antidote, to those other kind of shows on, you know, the other radio stations where they'll be talking about Brexit and what we should do with Muslims and immigrants and black cabs and sweets from the 70s. It's just kind of... The people that do it, you know, Ian and Duncan, they do it and they do it well. But I just want to have a laugh at 10 o'clock at night, half 11 at night. I just want to have a laugh. So that's what this is. You can call in about anything. You can call in about the straight stuff if you want, but I don't really want to indulge in it. 0844 499 1000. Let's go to Barry in Watford. Good evening, Barry.
Hello. Long time no speak.
Have we spoken before, Barry? You'll have to remind me.
It's Barry.
From Watford? Yep, it says on my screen. Where did we speak? Did you used to phone the BBC when I was there?
Well, yeah, it's Barry.
Barry from Watford? Yeah, it says on my screen.
Yeah, it's Barry.
From Watford? Yeah.
It's Barry.
From Watford? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Barry.
From Watford?
Do you remember?
Who is this?
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
It says on my screen.
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yes.
Barry.
From Watford?
It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
It says on my screen?
Yes, indeed.
When did you... did you phone me at Three Counties?
Well, it's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yeah? It says on...
It's Barry.
From Watford? It says on my screen, yes?
Yes.
I don't know you, sir.
Oh. I found... It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
I know, it says on my screen.
Yes. I used to phone a while back... No, Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
It says on my screen.
Yes, Barry.
From Watford. I'm going to need a little bit more than that. I've been doing this job for about... let me finish.
Let
me finish. Yeah. I've been doing this job for about 12 years. I've worked in about 5 or 6 different radio stations. Yeah. I've had thousands of callers, so I'm going to need a little bit more than... what was it?
Well, it's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Can I speak now?
Please do.
Yes, I'm going to start now. Speaking now.
Away you go.
Here I go. Just going to...
Barry from Watford.
That's it. I'll speak now.
Please do.
Yeah. I used to phone a while back. You... I don't know whether... Hello? Yeah. I used to phone a while back.
Yeah.
And I was always known as Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yep.
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. I was known as Barry, you
from
see.
Watford. It says on my screen. I know that, but I don't know who you are.
I used to phone, I was a regular.
Is this sentence... Are we going to get to the end of this sentence? Because I've heard the beginning bit of it about 20 times.
Oh, sorry.
So let's get to the end of the sentence.
Okay, and I used to phone you
yes,
a while back,
yes, that's the middle,
right?
Middle of the sentence.
Yeah, and when I phoned, we got on ever so well. We was a bit of a double act a while ago.
Never really worked as a double act.
You remember me.
Who is this, please, caller?
Barry.
From?
Yeah, Watford.
Barry?
Yes, from Watford.
Barry?
Yes, from Watford. Jesus, listen.
Is this Barry?
I want to talk about the Brexit.
What?
The Brexit. The Brexit.
Right. We don't really... No.
Hello? We're talking at the same time now.
I know, so you can shut up.
Oh, sorry, go. You carry on now.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you go, you say something. You say, you talk now, sort of thing. And then I'll say something after. You keep going.
That's how the conversation...
Oh, sorry, you go.
That's how the conversation
sorry,
works.
Yes, you
that's
start.
Right. Okay. We're not... Have you been listening to the show this evening?
No. I stumbled in, I've suddenly remembered. I wonder whether you might... Remember.
It's Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
From Watford, that's it.
Barry.
I want to talk about the Brexit.
So you've not been listening to the show?
No.
Right.
It's an important thing. I mean, you come on here, I've heard you talking about putting things up your bum and that. There's very important subjects afoot.
The thing is...
Yes.
This isn't that kind of show.
Oh.
Because you can get that on the other stations that are doing this. This show is more about having a bit of fun.
Yeah, putting things out your bum and that.
Please don't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Having a laugh. We got the Dennis LeCorrier from Doctor Hook coming on in about an hour.
I've never heard of him, but it sounds impressive.
Oh. So we're trying to do something a little bit different. And that...
Oh, you like the Europeans, is it? You like that, that's what it is.
Sorry?
You're not really allowed to say things now, aren't you, if you don't agree with, you know...
Huh?
Well, I want to say we want to leave the Europe, and you're saying, clearly, you don't want to talk about that. Anyone with a different point of view...
Well, you don't know what my point of view is.
Well, I do.
What's that music?
Houses, hills, till we have
them. What are you doing, mate?
Jerusalem, I'm yours in England's green and black.
I'm going to cut you off.
No!
Yes, go. Who was that? Who was that? No idea. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Az is on the line. Evening, Az.
Good evening, Barry. Huh? I don't remember a Barry.
This is the thing, right? And I don't mean to be rude. I've taken so many phone calls over the last. I've been doing phone in radio about 12 years. So many phone calls, and people come up to me and go, "Oh, I used to phone you on LBC, or I used to phone you on Virgin." And most 99 times out of 100, I don't remember the phone call because there's just so many.
You can't have been a regular because I remember Graham and I remember the girl, the Vinny, and I remember, but I don't remember.
I remember Graham and Vinny. They were good calls, but I if it's a good caller, I tend to remember them. Yeah, you're right, but no, I don't remember
Barry,
that last guy.
You know, so many people are called Barry. That could be anyone. I mean, it's. But anyway, words that have been ruined.
Words that have been ruined.
Oh, man, there's one. Okay, the word that really bugs me, I don't know who ruined this, but the word literally.
Oh, yeah, go on. I know exactly what you're getting
at. Literally has been ruined by...
literally everybody.
Not literally everyone. Not literally everyone, because that would be insane and wouldn't make sense. But it has been ruined by so many people. And... one example I can think of, I'm going to stop doing that accent. One example I can think of was on
Hang on, Facebook. Hang on a minute, what is your accent then?
What do you mean?
Are you not an American?
American?
That was a good accent, man.
What are you talking about, mate?
Yes, Az.
So, literally, actually, I find it easier to speak. So, literally, on Facebook, someone said the phrase... Okay, she was looking at a picture of someone with their newborn baby, and she was going all like gooey and like the girly thing, and saying, "Oh my God, it's so amazing, this beautiful baby," and then she said exactly the phrase that she literally died and went to heaven. So my immediate response was one of condolence. After which I thought about it, and I realized there must have only been two possible choices. Either that she's indeed dead and is Facebook posting from beyond the grave, or she's lying.
Yes. It is an incredibly annoying thing, to the point where I have used literally in the true sense, you know, to mean literally... But I feel like an idiot. I nearly swore then. I feel like an idiot for using it because I sound like one of those plums that's using it for exaggeration.
Exactly. Well, and now you need a new word to mean literally. Because if I use literally properly, like say, for example, I fainted and I said, yeah, this happened and I literally fainted.
Yeah.
Then people then ask me, oh, what? You mean you actually fainted or you just felt a bit dizzy? Like, no, I said literally because it actually happened.
Did you, as I've got to ask you, did you faint?
Yeah. No, that was a hypothetical scenario.
Thanks for calling, Az.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. I still got the urge to say the old place. Isn't it funny? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. We'll call you back and we'll see how it goes. It's... still early days. It's only show 3. I'm giving myself I'm giving myself 3 weeks before I start judging myself too harshly. By the end of 3 weeks, I should be up to speed. And hopefully the show will have either taken more shape or less shape. I don't quite know what I want it to be at the moment, but I'm quite happy just pottering along or puttering. Pottering or I think they're both acceptable. I'm quite happy puttering along, just seeing how things go. Rob's on the line. Good evening, Rob.
Hello.
Hello, Rob.
I'm calling about the Brexit thing that Barry was talking about.
Yeah, we're not really talking about that.
Oh.
Because, can I be honest? All right, let's talk about it for a minute. You know the Brexit thing? I literally could not give a stuff. I could not care less whether we're in or in or out.
I don't care either, but I want to look at it from a different angle.
Go on, what's the angle you want to look at it from?
Okay, so the Brexit thing is Boris Johnson, he's in charge coming out, yeah?
Yeah.
Why have they put a stupid oath in charge of coming out?
Well, two things. Who are they? Three things. Who are they?
Know.
Well, no one's put him in charge of coming out. It's just that he's the most. No. It's just that he's the most vocal, and he's a celebrity. He's only put himself. He's only put himself forward for coming out so that he can become prime minister. You know that, don't you?
Oh, this country would be even worse if that happened.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, as much as I would like it to be the case, Boris Johnson ain't stupid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
He's not stupid. He's an incredibly intelligent man. The fact that he can portray this character of this bumbling blonde oaf. That we all think, his policies are quite nasty, but he's lovely.
I take no notice of the policies.
Huh?
I take no notice of the policies whatsoever. I just see him talk, and I just think he's going to fall over. I think that man is going to fall over at some point.
Well, we all fall over at some point.
I've never fallen over.
Oh, shut up. You've never fallen over?
No. Not once.
Not when you were a baby learning to walk?
I can't remember that.
Thank you very much indeed. Because you don't remember it doesn't mean it didn't happen. 0844-499-1000. 0844-499-1000. I'm trying to think the last time I fell over. I bashed my foot quite badly today as I got out from the car park. I can't remember the last time I actually fell over. 0844-499-1000. We'll have Dr. Dennis from Dr. Hook in about an hour or so. I like Dennis. He can talk for England, even though he's an American. And now the phones get quieter, and that's fine. More believe in afterlife, but not in God. Why would anyone believe in the... You know... Hang on a minute. Ed?
Hi.
Do you believe in the afterlife?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
They just killed our conversation, didn't
they?
Hold on. Let me say no so you can make
it. No, because I'm going to destroy you.
Okay.
And I don't want to because you're a nice lad and it's your birthday today. So I might wait until after midnight when it's not your birthday.
Okay.
What do you think is there then?
Something. That's the thing. It's the unknown.
And this isn't a judgment call at all. A lot of people over the last few months think I hate Christians. I don't hate Christians in the slightest. Hey, man, if it works for you, it's groovy. Is your belief in the afterlife coming from a Christian perspective?
Yeah.
It's coming from a Christian's perspective. So do you... I can't get my head around it. I don't want to get in trouble with Christians again. Oh, God, please. No, not again. So do you think that, like, your nan is there and, like, you know, your dog and stuff are all going to be up there?
Yeah.
I can't win an argument with you about it because you're coming from a place of faith that is based in faith and is not based in fact. Faith is not fact, is it?
No, it's not. There's facts like the, you know, I call myself a Christian, but, you know, there are facts like the universe has to be created somehow and it was probably a Big Bang. There's science and facts for all that stuff. But you know, there are other parts that you just don't know and you have to believe in.
Well, that's the thing about faith, and I haven't got faith at all. I've got faith in some things. I've not got faith in this flipping studio to work and do as I command it to do. But the thing is, right, because you win, right? Because if you're right, beautiful. Mm. You're up there playing, like, they've got, like PlayStation 6 up there.
6C, you know, it's the next generation PlayStation.
They're way up there. Xbox 3 they've got. So you win, right, and I lose because I go to hell. But if you're wrong and I'm right and there's nothing, well, where's my satisfaction? Where I don't get to go, aha, I told you so. And you as a Christian, if you were right, and we did get to meet up in the afterlife, you wouldn't do that, aha, I told you so. You just look at me, cross your arms and wink, and then you'd walk off and ride a unicorn or something. I don't know.
Look, I might bring you up. We'll see how we go.
Wowzers. Dennis!
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, mine hair. Do you believe in the afterlife?
I'm still living this one.
Not for much longer. How old are you now?
Nearly 91.
Nearly 91. Tenor says you won't make it.
I still won the tenner when you said I wasn't going to do it last time.
Double or quits, then. Double or quits.
I know you, but anyway, how are you? You know, when you left...
Oh. Ian, yes.
I threatened to withdraw my money from the BBC, but some silly twat told me I didn't have one in the first place.
Yes, well, there you go.
An act was no good at all. But no, we did miss you.
And Dennis, I missed you, and I know that you and Matty Boom Boom and a couple of other people said lots of nice things, and I got all the messages that were passed on to me, even though they weren't meant to pass on the messages to me. So thank you, Dennis. It was a very, very upsetting time, but I got a better gig now. So you know, Yahoo sucks.
You've got Catherine with you as well. That's
the downside. That's the downside to it.
Oh no, you leave her alone. She's a great gal.
She's a great gal.
This business with the telephones up his bum.
Oh, I wish I hadn't started that. Yes, it's
but they're all set to Trump.
I said that again.
I said they must be DABs, and they've all been set to Trump.
There we go. You see, his ringtone would be Trump, quite literally, quite literally.
He'd fancy going around with a nice name for a fart.
Belief in life after death is increasing despite a fall in the number who believe in God. I can't believe. Dennis, because if there was life after death, right, and by the way, this is an open invitation. If any psychic wants to come up here one day and do it live, do it. You won't. But why hasn't my nan got in touch? Why didn't my dad get in touch with me when he died? I mean, fair play, he didn't get in touch with me for about 20 years of my life. That's by the by. Why didn't he get in touch with me, Den?
I don't know. I'm terrified if it happens because I shall meet my mother-in-law again.
Well, there we go, Dennis. Thank you. How are you keeping? You're all right.
Well, I had 10 days in hospital beginning of November.
Which I paid for.
Yeah, no.
My taxes, my NI, yeah.
It was like the 50 Shades of Grey, because I was something wrong with me dinky-doo. And I woke up at 3 o'clock one morning in the ward, and there was three lovely young nurses playing about with it.
Right, now, is this going to be a joke, or is this what actually happened?
No, it's a fact. And I said, what are you doing? He said, we're looking at it. I said, well, put the damn thing away. I can't see it.
None of your business. No, but leave that alone.
Yes, that's right, yes. But no, it's great.
Does your dinky do work?
It does now, yes.
Good lad.
The only put it, I was in a four-bed ward.
Yeah.
I was the only one that was compass.
Yeah.
The other three in there were crackers.
Dennis, nice to talk to you, mate. Take care.
I'll keep in touch.
Ta-ta, please do. Rob's on the line. Evening, Rob.
It's me again. I don't know why Catherine phoned me back. I stayed on the line the first time I called. But I've been looking at baby photos and baby videos, and I'm not falling over in any of them, so I'm pretty sure I've not fallen over.
Okay. I didn't hear any of that, Rob.
I'm mumbling, am I?
You're mumbling, and it's a really weird phenomenon. It's boring, but the phone calls are very muffled in my ears for some reason. It doesn't matter. You didn't say anything offensive, did you?
No, nothing offensive. It's getting a little bit late. I do get a bit mumbly when it's late.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm still... I planned last week to kind of stay up until about 1:30 at night to get me in the groove for this. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I was in bed by 9.
Do you know what would make these late night shows better?
Go on.
if you could record them in the day. So if people were more awake.
There's something, nice, yeah, there's something, though, about
if you could do it in the day and have it late night and live,
I see, that's what we need to work towards, Rob.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay, well, I'll have a word with the bosses.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
It's something that's been playing on my mind for a long time now.
Uh-oh.
Do you ever find that you have a shower and you smell more after the shower?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't, because I use water and shower gel for my showers.
I've used all that.
What are you using?
I'm using all that.
What?
And I've used all that, and it's like I've opened up the pores. I've let the sweat come out now.
Sometimes I have a shower. There's a great phrase in Seinfeld where he's sweaty after a shower, and he says, the shower didn't take. And sometimes the shower doesn't take, and I'm sweatier after a shower than I was before.
I feel like that every time.
But I don't. It's not stinky sweat. Every time.
Yeah.
You need...
Am I doing something wrong?
Describe your shower procedure to me. How does it work?
I can do better than that. Tomorrow night, I'll record it.
Well...
And then I'll just send it across. You review it. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong.
I don't really want to watch you showering.
Oh.
But thanks for calling, Rob.
Okay, thanks.
There we go. I don't really want to see the listener showering. 0844 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air after midnight.
I can have a look at that if he wants to.
I don't want to see that. Belief in life after death is increasing.
No.
Says it's Colin Fernandez. Now we're going to keep an eye on this guy, Colin Fernandez.
Do you know what Colin means in French? I
couldn't care less.
Cod.
What does Fernandez mean?
Fernando's son.
Son of Cod.
Hang on a minute. We should take this guy seriously.
Hang on a minute. He's the Daily Mail science correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a story from Colin Fernandez yesterday. Say it in its Spanish.
Colin Fernandez.
And I think this guy is one to watch, mm-hmm. in terms of cutting-edge journalism. This guy is one to watch.
What's he got?
Believe. And this isn't science, though.
This is hoodoo.
You do.
Me do.
What man? That man. What man? You remind me of a man. What man? That man. What man?
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
That babe.
What babe? I can't remember how you get out of it.
Goes,
you remind me of a man.
What man?
That man.
The power.
The man with the power.
The power of voodoo. Hoodoo. You do. That was it. That's it, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Let's discuss it after this.
Okay. The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The show, I feel, this evening is... If the reviewer from The Telegraph were to listen tonight, we wouldn't get 5 stars.
We'd get
the same treatment that Julia Hartley Brewer got. We get a pasting. We get a tonguing, a tongue lashing.
Wow. That would be awful.
A tongue lashing is what, I don't know, we'll piece it. Christopher's on the line. Yes, Christopher.
Hi.
Yay.
I'd like to make a complaint.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
No, you wouldn't. Did you say complaints? This is arguments. Complaints is next door.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, you can make a complaint. I was doing Monty. I thought we were doing a Monty Python sketch.
No, I haven't seen that one yet. I've only watched series 1.
You did it. You did it very, very well.
Highly well.
You've only watched series 1. Isn't very good. Series 2 and 3 are the ones. Don't watch series 4. It's weird.
But did you say you watched the Holy Grail as well?
Not Holy Grail. Brian, Life of Brian. That's
Life of Brian. That's a cracking film.
Series 1 has got the Posh People Olympics. What is it? Upper Middle Class Twit of the Year Award. That's the one. I like that.
Series 1, I find a little bit slow. Series 2 and 3, it gets a bit psychedelic. And series 4, there's no John Cleese, and there's no jokes either. And it's a terrible series.
Anyway, what's your beef?
I just think it's disgusting that the bloke who was on before, who stinks after the shower, doesn't wash his towels.
Sorry, I've got Kate Lawler's texting me. She wants a Rise reunion. I'm not interested unless the money's there.
What's the point, really?
Also, you're not interested. The viewers weren't.
Also, what? she's worried because she's just had a friend vomit in a cab.
Oh gosh!
And she's trying to convince the Uber driver not to give her a bad rating as a result of that. Ay.
Gosh.
Sorry, Christopher. I've learned over the years to tune out your voice. So let's try again. What?
I just wanted to say it's disgusting that the bloke who smells after his shower doesn't wash his towels.
I don't wash my towels often enough.
No, I don't. Do you know what else is going to disgust you?
We all use the
same towel. All of us. Four of us.
What?
I mean, we don't have, like, some people have separate towels, don't they?
Well,
I had a very fastidious friend, he and his partner used to use separate towels.
Yeah.
And I said, well, me and my husband have swapped worse, why are we being mean about the towels?
What do you mean swapped worse? Oh, God.
So
you've got two kids.
Do you know what mistake people make?
Go on.
Is that they use fabric conditioner when they wash the towels.
Oh, don't do that.
It makes them less absorbent.
Makes them spiky as well, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. You want to get them in a nice tumble.
Oh, God.
No fabric conditioner.
Of course you put fabric conditioner in the towels to make them so... I don't even use fabric conditioner. I use the capsules now, the little pellets.
Oh, do you? Oh, the shaky pellets?
No, the ones that are plasticky.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean the capsules?
The balls.
Oh.
The balls.
I don't use those.
Well, okay.
That's where you and I differ.
God, this is boring! Flip it, heck! Let's talk about immigrants, can we? That'd be more exciting than this! Thanks for calling, Chris.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
He was fun, wasn't he?
Oh, I like Christopher. Yeah. He's a good lad, but he's boring. Stan, you're on the line.
Wagwan, Ian.
Wagwan, Stan.
What's the crack, man? Stan, guys, cool.
There's controversy on Twitter.
What controversy? Why, what have I said?
Frederick says Colin is hake, not cod.
Okay.
More media lies and disinformation. She used to work for the BBC, Frederick. That's why she's lying to you.
Someone's lied to me in the past then. The Colin that I went out with, who was French, was telling me his name was Cod. That's what attracted me in the first place.
Yes, Stan!
Yeah, speaking of that, actually, I went on a Tinder date tonight and...
Oh, I?
It was with a BBW and a profile photo didn't really present herself as a BBW.
Right. For those who don't know, it means
big,
beautiful woman.
So I had a few drinks, and usually, you know...
Did you have enough drinks?
I think if I had another bottle of red wine, I probably would have...
Oh, no.
You probably would have taken her straight home and been respectful.
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone down...
Is Tinder like Grindr?
I think Grindr's for...
Tinder is not a dating application.
Well, it's supposed to be.
It's basically cruising, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's for sex.
Well, yeah, because by looking at someone's photo, you can't tell what kind of personality they are, can you?
I've had over 100 dates now on Tinder.
When you say dates,
you should be on Julia Hartley Brewer's show with
and I think in the last. I've been single for about 4 years now. I think I've hit almost over 100.
There we go. I think we'd actually use the dump button there.
He sounded like a romantic fool, didn't he? Flipping heck.
Did that dump, Ed? Yeah.
Use your imaginations. It was that. Still, anyway,
I'm a bit out of practice
with
the
dumps. No,
you were
very good with that. I thought that was excellent.
But I hesitated for a moment. But we, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
So speed dating's out, and that kind of capers in.
Well, this is the thing, right? At least with speed dating, we were going to talk about this the other night, and we didn't. At least with speed dating, you have to make an effort to go somewhere,
and you can pretend to be interested in their personality.
And I'm assuming you pay your subs as well. I assume you pay like what, a fiver? Something.
I don't know.
Who organises speed dating? Is it like someone who's very... Right,
someone who's fun with a whistle.
OK, everybody. What we're gonna do, right, so we're going to have the guys on this side, and then we're going to work round clockwise. Yeah. Girls are going to work anti-clockwise, the guys are going to work clockwise, and you've got 3 minutes each.
No, I don't think it works like that. I think what they do is they get the women sit down.
Oh.
Because there's usually more men than women. I don't know. I've never been. I've only seen them on...
Yeah.
I would say documentaries, more sitcoms.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
So... the women sit down and the men sort of move around the room and go from table to table. And there's a bell.
Has anyone ever actually found a long-term relationship from speed dating? I can't believe it. Surely it's the kind of thing that people do for a laugh. Oh, God, it'd be a laugh.
I'll go with you, Sue.
It will be a laugh. You never know. Yeah. And then, like, there's probably a couple that goes off for a quick bunk up. You can say bunk up.
Okay, yeah.
We can say bunk up.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know anyone else that says bunk up. If someone offers me a bunk up, I think they're going to, like, put their hands down so I can get over a wall. Boy, was I surprised. Yeah.
You put your hands down. And... but I can't believe that speed dating is...
Because it's so shallow, especially when you've only got 2 minutes.
I'll tell you what, another thing that's weird is that you still get phone-ins on radio shows. There was one the other day. With people questioning the validity of internet dating.
Mm.
Would you ever go out on an internet date? Well,
I think it's kind of the only way to do it now.
Yeah, loads of people would.
Unless you want to date someone at work.
What was it? Was it Ashley Madison that got
that's
hacked?
That's not quite internet dating. Is well, it is.
Okay. That got hacked. And it turns out there were only like, there was like 500,000 men on there and about 18,000 women. Yeah. that'll do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, no internet dating, I think, is probably it's the way forward, isn't
it? But Tinder's the swipey thing, isn't it? So you go
for the selfie generation.
I just don't understand.
The other thing is, who looks like their selfie?
Well, you can put so many different levels of effects on it.
And also, that pouting duck face where you take it from, you know, like a Danchuk, where you take it from on high.
Don't be rude about Danchuk. I think she's got a gig here, isn't she?
I'm just saying, people will know what I mean by this.
The selfie show with Karen Danchuk.
Where you can take it from on high. I mean, unless you're going to go out with someone who is at least 2 foot taller than you, they're not going to see you like that, are they? No.
Karen Danchuk selfie show. How to take the perfect selfie. When is that, on Saturdays, Sundays?
Both.
Is it both? Well, one for each...
day.
Yeah. Of the... that would do that. I wonder what filter she uses.
None. No, hashtag no filter.
Oh, really? Mm. Wow. That's perfect.
She's a very pretty woman.
Walking down the street?
And sitting down.
Kind I'd like to meet.
Probably.
Yeah. No, I think she's very attractive. I've not got... Why are you making this into a thing that I've got beef with Karen Danchuk?
I haven't got beef. You're suggesting that by mentioning her, I've got beef.
How many Dans can a Danchuk chuck?
Anyway, no one looks like their selfies, so...
I made myself laugh by saying something really stupid.
So you could swipe and then end up with something... I've never done it. Have you done it? Anyone listening?
There's no one's phoning in. They've all gone. They've got bored now.
They're all on Tinder dates.
You
know the Netflix and chill thing and everyone goes, oh, yeah, Netflix and chill?
No, I don't know.
Well, what it is the idea is it's, do you want to come round and watch telly with me?
But
it's
Netflix and chill?
Yeah, it's the new, do you want to come in for coffee? Coffee gets poured. Well, no Netflix get watched.
People say Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
No.
Has anyone actually gone round and just watched Netflix?
I at college, I can see a breaker's coming up. I had a bet with this girl who said, oh, yeah, blokes and girls can't sleep together in the same bed without having sex. I said, I'll prove you wrong. And she went, OK, go on then. And we slept together and we didn't have sex. And then about 15 years later, I went...
Idiot!
Oh, literally 15 years later, it just popped in, and she was really disappointed the next day. And I just, 15 years later, I realised what an absolute plum I'd been.
Talk radio.
Good news, by the way. You know they're going to make poppers illegal?
Yeah.
They're still legal.
Woohoo.
Well, exactly. You just thought you might be interested.
I know someone who got poppers dropped in a lift.
Don't know what that means.
Well, by the time they got to the top floor,
they were very high. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We'll take your call straight to air. 0844 499 1000. Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Call straight to air after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far out trip into the twilight zone of late night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, man. We'll have Dennis the Corriere, the lead singer from Dr. Hook, in about half an hour. He's always good value. Now we'll just sit and chat and we'll take your call straight to it. 0844 499 1000. It works like this. Your number comes up on the screen. I touch the screen and go, line one, you're on the wireless.
Line two, you're on the wireless. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Hello there. Can I tell you two things I don't like about your radio show?
What's happened, my friend?
Can I tell you two things I don't like about your radio show?
Yeah, what are they?
I'll press it anyway, just in case. Thank you for that. I don't know what you said. If you're going to phone into the straight-to-air bit, turn your radios off, otherwise you can't...
He was enjoying listening to himself, wasn't he?
They think it's rawl over.
Right.
I have a problem with this word.
Rawl?
Rawl plugs. Because I always think it's wall plugs.
Rawl.
And saying rawl makes me uncomfortable.
Rawl, to me... I don't know whether it's a northern word, but rolling is what my mum would accuse me to do if I was like lolling about on the
Stop
sofa.
Stop rolling downhill.
Stop. No, not rolling.
Rolling.
Rolling. She's rolling all over that
JK
sofa.
JK Rowling.
No.
She's good, that JK Rowling. Good for herself. Millions of pounds. She's getting on a bit though.
No.
She should cover those boobs up.
No. Rolling.
Yeah, rolling. Like, JK Rowling.
Like, look at me cushions. They're a right state. You've been rolling all over that sofa. Probably well, settee.
I'm Joanne. Joanne Kane Rowling. That's what I do.
Anyway.
Collector Peter Barnard is selling his hoard of vintage Rawl plugs.
Oh.
Rawl plugs with a capital R, so that must be a brand
must
name.
Be, yeah. Maybe named after Mr. Rawl.
After the obsession drove his wife up the wall.
Oh.
The granddad... 67. Well, that's sexist. Would they say if it was a grandmother? No, sexist. Here's a thing.
Go on.
There's a story. It's a really horrible story in the paper, but it's good that it's in the paper.
Tell me.
We'll get back to the Rawl plugs guy in a bit.
I can't wait.
It's a story about Stephen Fry being fat.
Right, but he goes fat then.
Filling out fast, it's Fry and his husband of 28. It's easy to pile on the pounds after you settle down in wedded bliss. And judging by Stephen Fry's waistline, he's very content with young husband Elliot Spencer.
Good.
Spencer, who was markedly skinny when his romance with the star became public, has also filled out. Do you know why? It's a horrible story. It's a really snarky, nasty story.
Yeah, but they're treating him like any other married couple.
No, no, no. They're treating them like women. Because you always get... there'll be a story of a woman that's got fat. And everyone will go, oh, well, you wouldn't get that about a bloke. Boom, you got it.
Do you know what I...
Boom, you got it.
Can I have a look at that?
Hang on a second.
Oh.
Boom, you got it.
Boom. Can I have a look?
Yeah, sure, mate.
Sometimes in the Daily Mail, when they talk about Stephen Fry's husband, they put it in inverted commas.
No, they've learned... I think that's the reason they're doing that story, because there are no... inverted commas.
Right, so they're just being mean to both of them?
Yes.
Because they treat everyone the same?
Yes.
Well done, Daily Mail. Thank you.
There we go. Yes, line one, you're on the wireless. Oh. It's the 11 o'clock show theme. Some events. Yeah, I used to be popular.
Oh.
I used to be somebody, Id. You're working with a has-been.
Did they hold up a thing marked clap?
They didn't do that, but they would... They would. Yeah.
They did that at Family Fortune.
But I was still popular. They didn't have... They were still... Yes, line two, you're on the wireless. Hello? Let me try if we put you there. Yeah, you're on the wireless.
No, they're not.
No, they've gone. Well, that's fine.
I have nothing to say.
The granddad, 67, amassed hundreds of the fixing in his workshop at home before Mrs. Jane balked at the size of his stockpile.
Oh, you would, though, wouldn't you?
Now his hoard is set for auction, valued at £1,000.
Good luck with that.
He's having a laugh. £1,000 for a load of Rawl plugs? Got to be joking. Peter's collection... Oh, hang on a second. spans decades of British firm Rawlplugs history.
Yeah, but...
Oh, and it's not just Rawlplugs. Well, this is a lie. This is a lie.
What
so it says here, the first line is, collector Peter Barnard is selling his hoard of vintage Rawlplugs. Then it turns out it's not Rawlplugs. He's got fittings, mags, promotional items and tools.
Yeah, but the only person who's going to be interested in that is Mr. Rawl. Mr. Rawlplug.
The retired Natural History Museum worker of Gillingham... Or is it Gillingham?
Gillingham, Kent.
In that case, it's Gillingham in Dorset.
Oh.
Has now decided to focus on his first love, not his wife, insect collecting and woodwork.
Oh, she wants to get rid. And not of the insects.
He said, I haven't come across anyone else who's collected Rawlplugs.
Yeah.
I think it's the only thing.
Yeah.
My family gets to assume I'm a bit of a strange guy and it's part of my character. But I'm bored of it now and it has to go.
He's bored of it now. That's hilarious. How long did it take him? 25 years?
Oh, did you hear his voice then?
Yeah.
It's ironic because his wife is a retired speech therapist. Retired speech therapist Jane said, I was very surprised to see how many boxes Peter Collection took up. I was glad to see the back of it, really. I still love him.
Why do we need to know what she did for a living?
Oh, here we go. John Joseph Rawlings invented the wall fixings in 1911 to attach electrical fittings at the British Museum. Well, we didn't have electricity in 1911, so what was the point of that?
Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, shut up yourself. We had the gaslighters.
Listen up yourself. We did have a bit
Big
of
up yourself! We had the gaslighters. The people that would go round and light the things with the gas.
Yeah, like Fanny by Gaslight.
Yes, line two.
Why do we need to know what she did for a living?
Oh, here we go. John Joseph Rawlings invented the wall fixings
time
in
travel.
1911 to attach electrical fittings at the
this
British
is
Museum. We didn't have electricity in 1911, so what was the point of that?
We did.
Oh, we didn't?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, shut up yourself. We had the gaslighters.
Listen up yourself. We did have a bit
Big of... Big up yourself. We had the gaslighters. The people that would go round and, light the things with the gas.
It's not actually that good, is it?
I thought it sounded better the second time.
Why do we need to know what she did for a living?
Oh, no, we're going... No, no, we got stuck in a time loop. It's like that episode of Doctor Who with Tom Baker when he's stuck in a time loop and he can't get out of it. Line three, you're on the wireless.
All of which makes me anxious. The time's unbearably so.
Okay. There's no reason why you'd know what that is, unless you're a fan of my work, which you're not. Let's go up the board. Line 10, you're on the wireless. Hello? No. Not welcome. Okay. Well, I've got nothing else to say. Oh, yeah, poppers are legal. No stoppers on poppers. That's a great headline.
Poppers are legal, not poppers illegal.
Poppers are legal.
Poppers are legal?
No, my father was actually a criminal. Poppers are illegal. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hello there. I wanted to tell you a couple of things I don't like about your show.
Okay, well, you got the radio off now, so that's good. Okay, where you go?
Go again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a bit of a bother with that. I've pulled over and I can do it now.
Excellent.
Well, I can't think of anything I don't like about your show. Permission to play, please, sir!
Your permission granted! There we go. These are all these call
oh,
and response.
I get it now.
All these call and response things that I can't remember the response to.
It's like radio-key.
The Home Office yesterday said it will not now ban party drug poppers after an outcry from gay groups and Tory MP Crispin Blunt. He did, he stood up, didn't he? Was he the one that stood up and said, I'm gay and, you know...
And I've used them, yeah.
Poppers, typically used by gay men to heighten sexual pleasure. It relaxes the muscles, doesn't it?
Yeah, apparently.
You didn't need to mime it. Didn't need to mime it.
Well...
Had been due to be among a list of legal highs outlined from April the 6th. But this is not a job.
What's the job?
Well, do you know what Karen Bradley does?
Test poppers.
No. She's the Crime Minister. She's the Crime Minister.
Yes, Crime Minister.
Here's the thing.
Go.
Nobody says Prime Minister correctly.
Prime Minister.
They don't. They go. They say Prime Minister.
Like he's a Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. No one says Prime Minister.
Prime Minister.
Because it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like no one says Crime Minister because that's not real. Crime Minister. Line one.
Hi, I am the Penguin.
Okay. Thank you very much. Crime Minister...
Very clever.
Karen Bradley. Yes, they said they would be removed from the list after the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs said poppers were not as dangerous as other legal highs. At the time, gay Mr. Blunt... Come on, guys. Really? At the time, gay Mr. Blunt... That's such a terrible sentence. It's 2016, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. At the time, gay Mr. Blunt told the Commons he used poppers, the slang name for the chemical alkyl nitrate. I thought it was amyl nitrate. And said the ban was fantastically stupid. The Home Office reacted by promising to review claims that poppers had a beneficial health effect for gay men. Okay, please don't mime it. okay. Let me read that sentence one more time. At the time, gay Mr. Blunt. There's gay Mr. Blunt. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Where's my bicycle? Yes, line six. Absolutely terrible. Rubbish. Absolutely terrible. Line 12, you're on the wireless.
Another word which has been ruined. Jugs.
Alan Bennett there.
Oh, dear. Line six, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. My name is Peter from Gillingham.
Yep.
And you seem particularly interested in my roll plugs. I wondered if you'd like to buy them.
They're going for a grand, though.
Well, it's very reasonable.
But it's just...
I'm sorry I sound a little bit like Ken Livingston, but apart from that...
Apart from that?
It's an immaculate collection.
Have they ever been used before?
Well, yes, yeah, some of them have got, you know, genuine plaster dust in them.
I'm going to pass.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm going to pass, but thanks very much.
That's all right, welcome.
Dear, you're welcome.
Regards to Jane.
Yes. Let's take one more before the break. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian. It's Rob again.
Hello, Rob.
Stinky Rob, apparently.
Stinky Rob. Yes.
There's nothing wrong with my towels. They're washed fine. It's me that's weird, not the towels. So we'll move away from that. But the reason why I've called back up is you keep saying rule plugs.
Rule plugs?
Yeah. The L, I'm pretty sure the L is silent. I'm pretty sure it's just rule plugs.
It's not. It's rule plugs.
I'm pretty sure that L is silent. It's just raw. If I go into a shop and say I need some raw plugs...
Well, you say raw... Well, you're saying it wrong when you go to the handyman.
And they're trying not to be rude about it,
They see you coming in, they go, here, watch this. He's going to ask for raw plugs, and he's not going to say the L. He's a nutter. And then when you walk out, the kid goes, God blimey, Governor, you're right! What a muppet! And then the next time you go in, they set up a hidden camera,
yeah.
And then they film it, and then it goes on YouTube. And then the next thing you know, it's on Idiots Make You Lol on Channel 5.
And you've gone viral.
You've gone viral, mate, Rob.
Or Vira.
I don't want to be on that at all. I don't want to be known as the stinky guy who doesn't know how to pronounce
it. Yeah, well, I'm afraid, Rob, that's exactly what you're known as. 0844 499 1000. Let's have a break.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Earth time. I've just had an argument during that break.
Let me guess, Doctor Who?
Yes. I've been arguing. I think you'll find it's actually John Pertwee, who was in the episode where he was stuck in a time loop. And I've replied, no, it's Tom Baker. Then Mitch Benn has steamed in and corrected the guy for spelling John Pertwee wrong. And then the guy's gone, aha, it is John Pertwee, and he's found a Wikipedia link with the episode. And then someone has come in, Paul Ebbs has come in and gone, it's both of them, lads. And then he names Time Monster and Megloss. Of course, it's Megloss.
So let's all be friends again.
Let's all be friends. Easter eggs are banned.
Where?
Nowhere. Front page of the Star. The word Easter has been shamefully axed from the boxes of millions of brick chocolate eggs to avoid causing offence to other religions, Muslims. It emerged last night. Turn
to
page 7.
Did it?
But here's the thing, it's a weird sentence in this, right? Chocolate firms have banned the word Easter from their eggs to avoid offending non-Christians, Muslims, religious campaigners said last night.
Oh, which ones?
Oh, well, that'd be interesting. Let's find out. I wonder if it was them. Cadbury is now selling a Dairy Milk egg hunt pack, while Nestle advertises Aero's chocolate egg with bubbly bars.
They've always called them that, haven't they?
Sainsbury's has also joined the political correctness trend by selling its own brand, Milk Chocolate Egg. Now, here's the thing, right? See if you can spot the shocking thing in this.
Go on.
Maybe you won't think it's shocking. And it's a Christian, so see, maybe you agree with this. Maybe I've got this wrong. The E word is apparently so offensive that posh chocolatiers, green and blacks, once described the most important date on the Christian calendar merely as the Festival of Chocolate and Loveliness. Is Easter really the most important date in the Christian
calendar? Well, yes.
More so than Christmas?
Yes.
Yep.
I'll tell you why.
You are joking!
I'll tell you why.
He had to be born to die!
This is the thing.
They're born to run.
The whole point is Easter. Because if you don't believe that he died and was resurrected, he died for your sins. Because before that, it was all Old Testament.
That's nice of him.
All Old Testament stuff, and God would smite us.
But if he hadn't been born, he couldn't have died.
All right, so that's fairly important.
Oh,
but the main
on.
Thing is,
like,
this was
Easter
his...
Easter is number one, Christmas is like number two. It's like Christmas leads to Easter.
But this is the completion of his destiny.
This is what's wrong.
And before that, it was all like floods and locusts and plagues. And he took all the sin and washed it away with his gorgeous gift. That's the point of Easter.
Or maybe it didn't exist. But why,
but
do, I,
point,
why do I get more presents at Christmas than at Easter? Riddle me that.
I'll tell you why. Commercialism.
This prompted angry and frustrated campaigner David Marshall to set up the Meaningful Chocolate Company, in which his fair trade charity, Real Easter Eggs, puts the religious message onto the packaging.
Oh, this is what it's about, is it?
He said, "It's deeply disappointing and shameful that some of the biggest companies in the country are centering this century-old tradition."
But I'll hop on and make some money out of it.
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't noticed that. I don't notice that.
No, I don't think they've ever said Easter egg. It's Dairy Milk egg, Button's eggs, isn't it?
I don't know. Line two, did they ever say Easter eggs?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, it's Jan.
Hello, Jan, how you doing? You're right?
I'm okay. I do have to laugh at you, though. I tell you why. You know these weird people that phone up and, like, you say, oh, line two, and somebody comes on and it's all, like, gobbledygook?
Yeah.
Do you know these people?
Well, do I know you?
Only from last night, from the other night when I phoned up and had a little chat with you.
Then you've answered your own question. I mean, some of these people have called me in the past. We had that fella from Watford who I don't remember at all.
Brian.
Yeah. So some of these people have called up in the past, but I don't know them.
Yeah, but you sort of... you said, oh, well, you know, people that know my show or that have known my show and have done things. What was your previous shows like? What were your previous shows like?
No, they're no better than this. Well, I just did 3.5 years at the BBC on a local radio station where it was a bit straighter than this, and we'd talk about, you know, important news of the day, like Milton Keynes parking going up by 10p.
But you had an excellent producer.
My no.
God, don't talk to me about that. I've just been stung.
Oh, yeah, how so?
By a supermarket for being in there for 44 minutes over.
Well, that's quite a lot. That's quite a long time over, Jan.
And I can't think how I'm going to tell them. I can't think of a reason to give for why I was there for 3.5 hours.
Why were you there for 3.5 hours?
Well, because I met my bestie and we went off to Matalan.
Tell him that.
Well, I leave my car here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Went off to Matalan and then came back. And then just the other day, I've got this letter through saying, "Oh, you're only meant to be there for 3 hours, and you were there for 3 hours 44 minutes."
How long? So, what were you doing in Matalan for nearly 4 hours?
Well, it wasn't. We sort of went for lunch.
Yeah.
And then we went to Costa and had a bit of lunch, and then went to Matalan. And then I thought, you know, we're just going the one car.
Yeah. How much have you got? How much is the fine?
Well, if I pay up until 24 days or 25 days, I think it's £50.
Ooh,
But if I pay after that, it's £85.
Pay it, and get it out of the way. When I get a parking ticket, I get myself be angry for 2 minutes,
and then blame yourself,
and then I pay it straight away because I've normally done something wrong.
Jan, did you get anything nice in Matalan? Did you get any nice tops or anything?
No, I didn't, but I do like some of their stuff. It's weird because I've actually got one in my town and I very rarely go to it. But, yeah, I do actually like some of their stuff and they're now bringing in the summer stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, careful, it's not quite warm enough for that yet, is it?
No, but I'm going to a spa day tonight.
Hey!
You'll have nothing on all day. You'll just be in a dressing gown and then slippers that look like flip-flops.
So I've packed my bag, so I'm all ready to go to there tomorrow, and I'm going to be staying the night, so...
Do you know...
That should be fun.
Me and my sister went on a spa date recently, and all we did was stay up in our room drinking wine.
Okay.
Do what we want, don't we? Do what we want.
Well, I have packed some in my bag, I must say.
Good girl. Good girl.
For me and my daughter.
Jan, listen, this is how it works, OK? So the straight-to-air bit is like, look, there's a call here. Let's take this call and see what happens. So, Jan, say, hello, line two, you're on the wire. Oh, hang on. Say, hello, line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, line two, you're on the wireless. Yes, what's that?
It's the
Blue Oyster Club.
It's the theme tune from the Blue Oyster Club.
See, but then I feel like I'm on like a parallel universe. I don't understand all this, Ian. It's very confusing.
You don't know Police Academy.
You don't have to. This is the thing, Jan. What we need, we think too much. We need to let ourselves go. I don't understand it. Why should we understand everything around us? We just discussed a bloke coming back from the dead after 3 days. We don't need to understand all of these things. Let's just accept them.
I know, but it's like I'm trying to chill, and I'm already
chilling Netflix
tomorrow. And I thought, oh, I'm going to put the radio on. I'm going to listen to Ian.
No,
and it's like what?
Yeah, it's like what? Jan, listen, I'm going to let you go because I want to squeeze in one more call before we get Dennis on from Doctor Hook. Let's go to line three. Three, you're on the wireless.
Hey. It's Rosie.
Rosie, turn your radio off.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you will.
Come on, Rosie, you know this stuff.
Come on.
This ain't your first rodeo.
I didn't think you'd answer.
Well, why?
Because I was hanging on about 10 minutes, about half an hour ago, and nobody answered.
Oh, we were busy then.
I didn't see it then.
We were busy then.
Anyway, look, you've got a minute. You've got a minute.
Yeah,
then we're
going to
get...
I thought I'd leave it till you're not so busy.
Go on then.
I was just going to phone up. But all these people about talking about blooming spa days and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've never, ever been to one of those. I've never had a massage. Sometimes I just get a bit, like, fed up.
Frustrated.
I'll massage you.
Oh. I'll watch. I'll film it.
Job done.
You've never had a massage?
No.
I treat myself every now and then, and I might treat myself soon because I've been getting terrible headaches. The Thai place around the corner from me, an hour, 60 quid. 60 quid for an hour, but it's worth it.
I had my first massage after I had my first baby. It was like a little treat for my sister. Oh, my goodness, Rosie, you haven't lived.
I'm always worried. I've said this before. I'm worried that she's thinking that I'm thinking it's going to be a sexual thing because you can get sexual massages. I believe they call it a happy finish, right? And I really want to. I really want her to know that I'm enjoying. She's obviously well trained, and I want her to know that I'm enjoying the fact it's trained.
You're making noises.
So I make noises.
What
like,
noise?
Oh yeah, that's really good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Oh, really enjoying this.
I don't think she'd feel like she needed to do anything extra. Then
no, I don't. No. I don't want her to think that I'm. I don't want her to think. That I'm thinking bad things about her, and I'm not. Genuinely not. at all. You've got to wear special pants if you're a man. They've got to be.
Why?
You've got to wear trunks, not boxers.
Well, I told you about that massage okay. I had, right? Me and my sister had the same treatment, except they made me strip off completely.
God.
You see, Rosie?
I think I might have been had.
Rosie, this is
no,
what you're...
No.
This is what, listen, I've got to move on, because we're going to get... In a few moments, dear listener, we're going to have Dennis Le Corrier, the lead singer from Doctor Hook, an all-round nice guy. Let's have this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
She gets home after six... to be
to even fix a bite to eat. She pours a glass of wine and tries to ease her mind and rest her tired feet. She glances through her mail, a few bills, a sweater said. Too many of her days seem to end this way.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the show? It's Dennis Le Corrier. I'm going to say it because you're doing a tour as Doctor Hook, the lead singer of Doctor Hook. Hey, Dennis, how are you doing?
How are you? No, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's funny how over the years people think if they mention that to me, I'm going to get angry or something. It's probably the most important thing I've ever done.
But
you know?
there are some, you know, rock stars and pop stars and things who they kind of get a little bit sniffy about the thing that made them famous, about, you know, if the hit or the group, and they get a little bit funny about talking about it. Have you ever had that where you know, someone's giving you a Dr. Hook record to sign, and you've gone, no, I'm not signing that.
No. The only thing I did, man, was in 1985 when we did the farewell tour, I wanted to move on to other things because I was like, you know, I was 35 years old and people were saying to me, hey, you used to be, you know, and it made me check my pulse. I mean, I just felt like I was way too young to be a used to be. So I kind of drifted away from it for a while. And also I went through a period of, like, you know, if you didn't sing a certain song, someone would tell you the whole show was dreadful, you
yeah.
know. And I took great umbrage at that. But man, it's a funny thing about having a history. You know how they always tell you, Ian, you know how they always tell you that great wise, you know, you have to be here now.
Yeah, yeah.
You must be, well, when you're in a position like I am, and I guess a lot of people who do what I do, you're always thinking about the past, and you're always worried about how you might parlay that into some kind of future.
Yeah.
And there's very, very little room to be here now. So I kind of took a nice long be here now break, did some solo albums, wrote some songs for other people, put out a book of poetry and cartoons, not to compete, you know, it's not like I'm trying to supersede my career, but just so I knew I had a genuine pulse.
You
and
put
now
out
the Hook thing is just part of what I do, and it's cool. It's great.
You did right a great album post Cool, which yeah. I don't. How long ago was that? 5 years ago?
Yeah, about yeah.
It's brilliant. It's this nice. Delightful little kind of sort of folky country poppy album with these. It's charming. Charming is the word, and
cool.
it's a cracking record.
Yeah, well, yeah, man. It's the old thing, you know. When I was with Hook, we had the might of Sony or Capitol, EMI,
yeah.
behind us, you know. And it was a different day. I mean, it's funny how they keep the business keeps making you chase yourself because, you know, the labels have made it pretty certain that nobody's going to make any money selling records. So now everybody has fleeted onto the stage, you know,
yeah.
and now you can't get a booking because they go, well, really, you know, we got the Russian circus in here all week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it just, this business kind of eats itself, you know what I mean? So these days I just try to be consistent. I think the Hook thing is cool, man. You know, a couple of years ago, Universal Music asked me, because they acquired all the old catalog. And I was glad they did, because it's new to them, so they're excited about it. When it was laying in the EMI vaults, it was all news.
Yeah.
So Universal said, will you help us put out an album? And I've been involved doing that. We did it here in the UK, and it went top 10, and same with New Zealand. And, you know, that's pretty cool, man. This material's like 41 years old.
Here's the thing, Dennis, right? I've told you this before. I was brought up on Neil Diamond by my dad and Dr. Hook by my mum. And as a kid, it's like, I hate this stuff. I hate it. And
yeah.
then as I got older, I thought, this is brilliant. The thing, when people think of Dr. Hook, though, they think of Sexy Eyes and When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman, right? Great songs. But if you listen to, like, the first, I don't know, first three Hook albums, It's a completely different band. That yeah. Those are filthy, filthy albums. We played a little bit last night of I Got Stoned and I Missed It.
Yeah. And yeah, no, well, a lot of those early things, man, you know, when we were a bar band, you used to have to play anything that kept you from being killed. really, I'm not kidding. And then you could do dirty versions of cover songs yeah. to entertain yourself till 3 o'clock every morning, you know. And so when we became sort of like a commercial you know, entity, we had the power of songs by Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
And he wrote Sylvia's Mother, but he also wrote Freaker's Ball. And he wrote The Ballad of Lucy Jordan, but he also wrote Acapulco Goldie. And he also wrote Cover of Rolling Stone. And it was the thing where it was like, I always thought if one guy could write that kind of diversity, why couldn't one guy sing
yeah.
that kind of diversity? And it kept us confusing. But those early albums, Ian, are the band really just singing our hearts out, and it was raw, and we didn't care what we looked like or how it sounded. We just wanted to get it out there. And then we all went broke and bankrupt, and nobody could feed their families. And we thought, okay, do we want to try to be real people and get yeah. jobs, or do we want to stay in this business? And to stay in the business, man, we had to get on the radio.
You had to get slicker.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. Let me tell you something, okay? In America, they had all these radio stations. And what was pretty cool is all these big tracking stations like WHN in Chicago and WABC in New York and WMMS in Cleveland was a big one. And if they went on your record, about 40 smaller stations all over America. And you needed that. You needed all those arteries and stuff. So we went in with one of our early records back when I looked like Bigfoot with a guitar, you
yeah.
know, and Rosalie Trombley, I think her name was, who was the program director, this older woman, she wouldn't have anything to do with us at all. And we got haircuts and, you know, slicked it up a little bit, shag haircut, and walked into her office with Sharon the Night together. And she didn't even play the record. She looked at me and she went, yeah, that's better. Like she was my auntie. You know what I mean? It was like I was visiting my grandmother. And, you know, I always used to laugh about that because some people used to have to ply them with cocaine. I just had to get a haircut, you know?
The thing is, right, it's funny you say you were 35 when Dr. Hook split up. Because you joined them. They were all... The rest of the band were older than you. What were you, 15 when you joined them?
I was about 19. As a matter of 19. Fact, I was 35 when it ended. Ray Sawyer was 34 when it started.
Wow.
You know.
And let's clarify, because there would be people... This must be... Right, you know this comes from a place of love, Dennis. I'm going to ask you the question that I bet you get asked loads and is the most irritating question you could be asked. Where's the eye patch?
Yeah, no, let me tell you something about that. The most irritating thing would be as if they just assumed it was me.
Yeah, right.
You know, if they're asking about it, it means it's still up for question.
Right.
The guy with the eye patch was a good mate of mine back then, Ray Sawyer. I mean, you know, he was the icon of Dr. Hook the way Mick Jagger's lips are yeah. the icon of the
Rolling Stones. He was the look, and you were the voice.
Yeah, after a while it did fall that way. It really did fall that way. And you know, so, and people do, they ask me that all the time. But, you know, it gets to be, because I'm only, you know, I'm a human being, it gets to be a little annoying on the scope of where, you know, where it's not so much that people ask, but, you know, when you go to a record store and you pick up a CD and it says Dr. Hook at his very best and it has a picture of Ray on the cover.
Yeah.
And I turn over the album and I'm singing a whole lot of songs on there. And after, you know, for the most part, I walk away whistling, but after a while, or on a bad day, you know, I'm not going to trash the HMV, but, you know what I say to you? Here's the deal. How about if every night you did your show and they introduced you as someone else?
Yeah.
And then they said, and not only that, from now on we're going to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just, it's a popular misconception.
How did 19-year-old you then hook up? What were hook? Like a country band when you joined them?
No, Ray and Billy and George played in bands down south together. And then they all drifted off. And George Cummings came up to New Jersey. And he was playing in these bars. And when I was a kid, first of all, I started out sitting on the steps of these bars and listening to the music. And when the doors opened, I would look really quickly at the band. And then when I was old enough to sneak in, I just sat in and played drums or played harmonica or sang. I just sat in with bands. And one night, George asked me if I could play guitar. I think he was too stoned to do a set. And I went, okay. And that's how I met George. And then later on, Ray came up and they asked me to play bass. And it was just a little bar gig, but I was maybe 12, 13 years younger than them.
Yeah.
And they were all from the Deep South, and it was very exotic to me. And I was kind of exotic to them because I knew all this pop music and they knew all this country and blues. And it was kind of a good, you know, it was a good marriage because none of us were the same kind of people. I think that made the band interesting.
Dennis, stay there. I've got to pay the rent. Are you okay to come back in a second?
Yeah, as long as I don't have to pay for anything.
No, you haven't got to pay. Got to pay a dollar, boss. Honestly, stay there. Let's have some of this.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, and then we play. There we go. Hang on.
Everybody must be on drugs in this town. Or maybe there's a strange new bug that's been going round. 'Cause people all smiling and waving as I go by. Everybody loves me and I don't know why.
That I've got to say, I think that's my favourite Hook song.
You know something? Rick and I wrote that, and it's one of mine. When I play solo, I sometimes start the show with that.
I love it. It's a great song. And I just honestly, I think those first three albums are delicious. And Lost Classics is perhaps too strong a word, but there's a real snobbery, isn't there, when it comes to music. And some bands are cool, and some bands are not cool. And I grew up liking the Monkees, so I never cared, you know, I got bullied for that. I never cared about the cool thing at all. How were Hook perceived? Was there a period when Hook were cool?
Never. Man, we were always like, you know, right at the end of the radio station there where it's a little off the dial. It was never, you know, our first record, Sylvia's Mother, this, you know, lovely ballad that I sang seriously. I tried to put emotion in it. They thought that one was funny. And then cover Rolling Stone, they thought was probably a documentary, you know? I mean, so really, nobody ever knew how to take us. And, you know, I want to say something about what we talked about earlier, because you said, you know, people will know when you're in love with a beautiful woman and sexy eyes and maybe not know the earlier stuff. But I have to tell you, in some really twisted irony, that stuff that a lot of Dr. Hook purists would say is where we sold out is the reason people still know who Dr. Hook is. Because I swear to you, Ian, we would have been relegated to... And I don't mean to be mean to any of the bands, because I'm talking about genre, not talent or status.
Yeah.
But Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, the New Riders of the Purple Sage.
Wow, hang on. Are these real bands? I've never heard of these guys.
These were all country, psychedelic rock bands when we started in the early 70s that, you know, you could still, they're still, you know, I don't know if they're popular, but, you know, it was a genre. And we were Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. We would have been a hippie band that people went, oh, yeah, cover Rolling Stone. Oh, was that them? You know, oh, yeah, was that them? And you know, they package these things, and the compilations come out, and the greatest hits things come out, and I try to take some hand in making them a little different and giving them a personal slant, so it's not just, oh, we found another picture of the band, let's put another album out. But if it wasn't for the big hits, because that's, you know, we don't, see, you. I sent you that compilation. If it wasn't for the big hits, that compilation would not be coming out with all that other cool stuff on it.
And I hate all this.
Something has to break down the door.
Yeah.
And Sexy Eyes, and I'm not happy about this, but Sexy Eyes does it more than Everybody Loves Me. You know?
It's that cat commercial, Dennis. It was the cat commercial that made Sexy
that?
Eyes. I do remember it.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I don't know what. You know, I got to the airport.
It was for cat food.
You would have thought I was carrying fish, pal. I'm telling you.
Was there? Wait, it was there. Cause, okay, so you joined the band. Okay, it's this 19-year-old kid, and you say they're all older than you, right?
Yeah.
And I'm good. Listen, I'm not flirting with you, but you're a good-looking guy.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks.
You've always been a good-looking guy. Was there at any point when you started doing more of the vocals? Because at the start, it's kind of you and Ray, and you do some brilliant harmonies together. Really good harmonies, actually.
Yeah, really cool. Great group stuff on those early albums.
Was there a point when it was obvious that you were becoming the front man of the band, that the rest got a bit jealous, or were they always cool with it?
No. And, you know, the very first thing we did was that Harry Kellerman movie with Dustin Hoffman that Shell wrote the score for. That's how we got involved with Shell Silverstein. And there were two songs in that film, and I sang both of them. So, I mean, I think, you know, it was kind of evident to someone, or maybe not evident, that's a strange word for something so new. But I think the idea was, oh, listen to this guy's voice. That's a little different, right from the very beginning. Then the fact that the band, other members sang and did their featured vocals, and as an ensemble we were colorful, that's the vehicle I rode in on, pretty much. But there was always a time in the middle of that circus when I would sing Carry Me Carry, or the band would leave the stage and leave me out there by myself. So it kind of always... It always swung my way, and it's really funny, man, because I've always been a little, not shy, but a little reticent to talk about it, because the band was the vehicle for me, and you don't want to just get to where you're going and kill the mule, you know what I mean? The band was really important to me, but it did kind of swing my way, and, you know, when Ray left the band in the early 80s, I think... Although it wasn't a big argument in a gun battle, I think part of it was, okay, look, man, I'm, you know, 40-something, and you got this, and I'm the logo, and I need to go do something. The same way when it was over 35, I thought, okay, I need to go do something. You know, you roll on.
Let's do the business. You're doing the tour, you're touring as Dr. Hook for the first time in years, because you've done the solo shows, you've done the songs of Dr. Hook, but this is you actually going under the Dr. Hook umbrella.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I'll tell you why. Because now that I've been involved in helping Universal look at these compilations, I've had to listen to everything, I've spoken to people, I used to marvel at the fact, Ian, that people still talk to me about Dr. Hook as if it was an ongoing concern.
Yeah.
But I understand why. You know, I'll be walking in the street, I'll be getting a cup of coffee, I'll be somewhere, and someone will walk up to me and say, without saying hello, just say, you know, I used to go camping with my family, and we used to sing Dr. Hook songs in the car, and my mom and dad loved you, and they both passed away, and we're coming to your show, and I'm right in the middle of their lives. And you don't go, excuse me, I'm trying to get a panini. You take that seriously. You know what I mean? You take that very, very seriously. And so I think at this point, because I've done other stuff, I'm not looking to conquer the world. I'm really not. I'm looking to have a nice life, for me, run out the clock with some normalcy and take, you know, the best of what I can do and go out and do it until either they can't stand it or I can't stand it. You know, I kind of look like the same guy. I appreciate you said, you know, made a nice, was flattering about my looks, but I kind of look like the older version of the same guy. The only time I don't stand a chance is if I do a chat show somewhere in the world, and they play all the old clips and what I was in my 20s and early 30s, just before, and then the camera pans over and it's like, and now here's his father, you know.
Listen,
I don't stand a chance.
If my mother could walk, Dennis, you know that she'd be jumping all over you, so... You've still got it.
Please, the last few times we've talked, I've meant to tell you to say hello to your mom. Your mom is the loveliest person in the world.
Well, she's
and you know what I think about you. I'm going to get very unprofessional here.
Here we go.
But you know I think the world of you, and well, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, may God bless you, Dennis. I'm looking. You say you want a nice life. Yeah. I've just clicked on the tour dates. How many dates are you doing, man?
About 30.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're going to be knackered.
I still have the energy to do it.
You're playing all over. I've just tweeted the link. If you're following me, at Ian Lee, I've just tweeted the link for DennisLeCorrier.com. It's got all of the tour dates. You're basically playing everywhere that has a stage and a light.
And, you know, we did Australia. I went to Australia in 2014 solo and did 26 shows just to go back. They wanted me to come back with a band and do the hits, and I said I haven't been there for 15 years. If I just come back and do the hits again, the only thing they're going to learn is that I'm older. And, you know, we can just take a calculator and figure that out. And I can stay home, you know. So I went with a guitar, and I did a show that kind of told them where I've been and who I am now. And then I came back with the band and did the wall-to-wall hits. There's a couple of my solo things in the show. I don't belabor the point, but you know, the truth of the matter is I tell the audience had I kept recording his Dr. Hook dance on Daddy's Feet or something like that would have been a Dr. Hook song.
Are you going to do another album? Because I know that it's kind of... You're right, but the money is made doing touring these days. You're not going to get rich from releasing a record. I get the impression from speaking to other musicians that for the amount of effort they put into writing and recording a decent album, that the payback, both financially and kind of artistically, it's not there. It's not worth the effort.
You know something? It's probably not. And I'm a strange bird because I focus on a different thing when it comes to an album. Post Cool. You mentioned Post Cool.
It's a cracking record. I love it.
You know, I really resisted doing another album because I did that when I was 60. Okay.
Wow.
And I thought I love these songs. One of the things I love about Post Cool is there are a bunch of songs on there like Ask Her and This Guitar and Dance on Daddy's Feet that I played live for a while before I recorded them, and I knew people liked them, and I'd never been in that situation before where I was a guy and I road tested songs, and so that album came together as something really cool and organic for me. But I resisted it, man, because I knew I was going to put my heart into it, and I was going to become a little kid again, and I was going to put not only my heart but all my faith and trust in it, and that I was going to be knocked to my knees. And I'll tell you what, with what that album cost me and for as little as it got promoted, I love the album. I'm so glad after the fact that it's out there. But, man, it practically ruined me in this business because it just... You can't do it. You just, I'm being realistic about that. I mean, it just costs a lot of money to do. And I know there's probably cheaper ways to do it, but I went into a studio with the band.
Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Old-fashioned, man. Do it on GarageBand and a computer.
I know. I'm a caveman. I went into a studio with a band. We did it as live, and then I took that band on the road. I'm too organic, man. I know what you mean. You know, you talk about that. I always think when younger people listen to Sylvia's Mother now, and they hear about the operator asking for money, you know, it's like, what? My dad pays my phone bill. Why would you need change? You know, I must sound like a caveman.
It's all on credit. I've got to top my credit. Dennis, listen, we're out of time, man. I we're going to do that sushi soon. I'm kind of on the upward swing, so we'll do that sushi.
Listen, I'm so happy to be on your first week. As long as you said you'll accelerate, give you 3 weeks, you'll be up there. As long as you don't look back and think of me as an early stumble.
Mate, listen, I've got heroes this week. We've had one of the Bare Naked Ladies, John Sebastian yesterday.
John Sebastian's one of mine.
Andy Partridge tomorrow.
Andy Partridge, another one. Say hello to these people for me.
I'm going to. We've tried to make it easy for me by getting people on I love. So I appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you, man. I do. I appreciate it. Really, say hello to your mom.
I will do.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you very much for having me on here.
Don't suck up to Catherine, Dennis, please. Come on. She's not worth it.
Oh, well, hey,
look, you know, she was very nice to me.
Well, there you
That's
go.
All I know.
She's rude to me. I've not worked out which day I'm going to come and see, but I'm going to come and see one of the shows.
Let me know.
Bless you.
And maybe we could talk again closer to tour time.
Yeah. Oh, man, come in here with a guitar one day. That's what we're going to work on. All right.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I love you, man.
Great.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Ta-ta. Bye bye. There we go. Dennis Le Corrier from Doctor Hook. I've just tweeted the tour dates, and I'll tweet them again tomorrow so that you get to see them. Honestly, right, it's such a good show. He's one of those people who's just... he can talk for England, can't he? He puts on such a good show. It's such a joy. And the weird thing is, and my sister's listening in New Zealand, right, and she knows, we grew up with Doctor Hook records playing all the time, and we go, oh, not this rubbish again. But it's so weird... To like, I've got his phone number. He phones me up to ask how my mum is. Isn't that weird? We'll put some of that in the best of podcast. The podcast will go up very, very shortly. Catherine, Ed, thank you very much. Ta-ta.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.